Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiney.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls are beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. And that means it's media day, Papagino's day.
It means you burp 3 seconds into the show day.
A lot of media here. More than...
Buddy-buddy. It's buddy-buddy day.
More than last week because I think London's growing near, so there was a lot of Brits in the audience today.
That's Brits.
What's wrong with that?
Well, Catherine Tappan was there, too.
Oh. And also, today was the day that Junior Seau was officially announced as a New England Patriot. He just did a press conference, which I sat and watched.
And then he went to his locker and talked to media again.
He's great, though.
He
really is.
And his best part is the buddy-buddy. Addresses everybody as, hey, buddy-buddy.
I even asked for one. Specifically asked, can I get a buddy-buddy? And he shook my hand and said, hey, buddy-buddy. But me and Andy was standing there.
Even better was, Wes Welker was asked about it. And he says, yeah, he says buddy-buddy. When he doesn't know your name, he just says, hey, buddy-buddy. Literally like 5 seconds later, Seau walks into the locker room and Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe walks up to him and gives him like, hey, good to have you back, handshake. And Seau goes, hey, buddy, buddy. And I'm saying, oh, poor Chris thinks he remembers him and
right.
Just cast aside.
Very, very nice man.
Well, it's good.
And is apparently negotiating with meals to get his number.
From Derek
and
Burgess.
And have to buy some dinners.
He wants his 55.
Burgess needs to, put the price up a little higher.
But I think Derek Burgess needs to say, okay, I'll take the meal.
Who's
that's
Derek?
True, because if Derek Burgess says, Bill might just cut him and say, here, say out.
Well, who's Derek Burgess? Paul Perillo? He's looking for food instead of money?
$1 million.
I guess it depends. Those guys probably eat and spend money on food that I could never imagine. So
True. Well, Junior Seau did his thing. He doesn't know how he's going to be used, in what capacity, how much, when. He's just here to become to create another football player. Give me a helmet and let me go to work.
Let's hope he's better than the last time we saw him on tape.
So
getting run over by a bull.
Yeah, but, after that, everything else is easy, right?
Theoretically.
He's not going to face anybody that's 2,000 pounds in the National Football League. So
easy, Andy. I'm not in the National Football League.
And Terdell Sands was cut.
Right. So he's back. Tom Brady did it. His press conference, I thought it was very interesting because usually he does it in his locker, and Randy Moss doesn't like that because it intrudes in his space, which I can understand that. But Brady doesn't like it doing it at the podium. So today at the podium, they had the backdrop of Tom Brady's locker digitally enhanced.
How long did that last?
What do you mean? The whole time. So when Brady came out, he looks.
I was just wondering if, like, Dunkin' Donuts or whoever pays to have that back there cared.
You know, it's funny because.
Why are you shaking your head?
Brady comes out and looks at the backdrop.
You worried?
It was his locker. It was pretty funny.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if there could be a issue with that.
All right, just leave it at that. All right?
I'm just asking. Yeah,
he was only up there until he started answering questions.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did they take it down?
Nothing gets by. Did you watch the whole press conference?
No, I was doing email.
And you didn't notice that when you looked down, it was Brady's locker. When you looked up, it said Covidian.
Yeah, as soon as the first question was asked, it went back to the normal
backdrop. Fred is the eyes and ears of PFW in a Brady
and
press
and then, of course, Bill Belichick did his press conference before the two of them. And, you know, Tennessee's a good team. Said anyone that wonders, you know, if they really are an 0-5 team or better than that, said just watch the film.
No.
Put the projector on.
Projector, which is the best part of a very good quote. Put on the projector like it's 1936 and it's
right,
clicking
right,
through.
Right.
Everett High School right. Sunday afternoon watching.
Remember
the
Titans breaking it down there.
Put on the projector. He says.
I thought even more interesting than that, because some of that is a little fluff. He called Chris Johnson the best back he's seen in a while.
Yeah, and he also got kind of mad. During that projector thing, you know, it started off as like, look, we know they're a good team. They do this well, they do that. That's what he does for every team, so I can understand it. But then he goes, you just put the projector on.
Right.
You know, and then you watch the film, and anybody that doesn't come away thinking they're a good team at that point is just asleep.
Right.
You know, and he had a real edge to his tone there.
I think that's all part of it.
But he's trying to avoid what I said yesterday. Everybody thought they were a Super Bowl contender, a 12-win team coming into the season. Sooner or later, they're going to win a game. They're going to play well, better than they played. You don't want to be the team this week that loses that game. And that's a chance. Chris Johnson goes three times for 60-plus yards. You're fighting an uphill battle.
That's right.
So he's trying to make sure that doesn't happen
on
his
watch. And I
really
think, you know, we'll get into Tennessee. I know more as today goes on and tomorrow. But I really think that's the only way is if Chris Johnson makes big, big plays. I hope this isn't an urgent bulletin. But, you know... And I'm not surprised that Bill talked about Chris Johnson like that today. You're on the air.
40. We don't know the question, but the answer is 40. This is Jeopardy.
Is this really the man?
What is Junior Seau's age?
There you go.
40.
Yes, I know. No, Jeopardy, I have to form it in three. Go ahead.
What is 40?
I already said what is... Just go, you clown.
Wow. Shut up, fat mouth.
All right.
Fred, how did you think Bill handled the, I thought it was very professional, the English crowd asking questions about London and Wembley?
A lot of Europeans today.
Yeah, I thought it was okay up until the time where they said, you know, a lot of English premier coaches take things from NFL coaches. Do you see yourself doing the same thing? And a little bit like, I don't even know who those guys are.
He said, I probably couldn't name one coach in the
English
professional premier
Federation.
Yeah, but if you're a devout English soccer
fan, the hooligans
fan,
might not like it.
You could see that as a little bit of a disrespect.
The hooligans might not like it. I agree, but he could have said, "I don't know why they call them the Premier. We're the Premier." I don't have any problem with it. I thought he did a very good job.
But really,
fish
was
and
there
chips,
any,
all that crap.
There weren't many ways that he could have said that without coming off somewhat, you know, ignorant. Because he clearly doesn't do it and doesn't know. He probably wouldn't be able to name one. So how would you – I mean, if he just says no –
He can name one of the teams. He couldn't name a coach.
No, a coach, I'm saying.
I think he said teams.
Well, I'm not – is Manchester United one of those teams?
I assume.
Okay, then I could name one team.
What about Liverpool?
Is that a team? I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I don't know.
That's the one that the crafts were looking at.
Manchester United, I think you
is
I would,
a
I
world
would be
renowned.
To,
people
but I don't
might
know,
not know, especially where they are.
I don't know who their coach is, though.
Oh God, no,
I don't either.
Well, and that was the kind of what
the coach for
was.
The Revolution used to play for Liverpool.
Okay.
The irony in that Liverpool.
Oh, okay. I was asking who that was, but now I remember.
Okay, proceed.
All right, how was the locker room? So I didn't go in there.
Big crowd around Nick Kasher and Vollmer talking about the tackle situation. Vollmer was very, as you'd expect, kind of not on edge, but answers short.
Right.
Just kind of practice, playbook,
right.
Whatever. Kasher, I thought, was more forthcoming just in his tone and kind of how he said it. You know, he really praised Vollmer, said he's going to have a good week and he'll be ready to go. It did kind of sound like, A, Kazier's not switching. It sounded like Kazier's staying right.
Right.
And it sounded a lot like Vollmer was going to be at left tackle.
Left tackle.
Just kind of reading between the tone and everything he said. Yeah. So that was the vibe I got. Welker talked. A lot of the questions to various people were about Seau. You know, what's it like to have Seau back? You happen? I mean, they asked Vollmer, and I'm thinking, he's from Germany. He's a rookie. What does he care? I mean,
he played at Houston for 2 years.
I know, but what does he care that Seau's back?
No, he doesn't.
Really?
No.
Especially the week where he's about ready to poop himself because he's going to start protecting Tom Brady's blind side. I talked to some of the rookies, got blown off by your boy Edelman.
Really?
Politely, though. I could tell he was trying to avoid me, and I said, you just don't really want to talk, huh? You're trying to keep a low profile. He said, yep. So I can respect that.
Sure.
But I asked Chung about not playing. I'm doing a rookie kind of story, as you can tell by my bad press conference question that got the answer I really wanted.
Yeah.
So how bad could it be? But I asked Chung about not playing, and he, all smiles, enjoying special teams, doing everything he can. I'm going to be ready to go when the opportunity comes. On this team, there's a lot of great players ahead of you, and you just got to be ready when it comes. So I thought he answered it well. But not a lot of, I'm trying to think who else. Interestingly, Seau was one who had a large locker gathering after having done a large press conference.
Okay.
But a very, very quiet locker room.
Yeah. Well, we did our show last night. If you need to watch that, it's up.
Ratings
on,
are in.
It's up
big
on
numbers.
Patriots.com right now. Andy and Paul went at it about Randy Moss.
I heard we topped the Patriots-Broncos game.
We could have, yeah. They made a big deal about that on the radio.
Lying your ass off.
The fact that the Patriots game was double anything.
They make a big deal of a lot of things on that show that aren't a big deal.
You know, it was huge, huge ratings. So I thought that was interesting. Owners meeting, ongoing. A lot of stuff coming out of that yesterday. Goodell was there. Obviously, he addressed the media a little bit. They talked about Rush Limbaugh. They talked about, what was the other thing they talked about? They didn't really get in specifically about the CBA, although Robert Kraft was quoted a little bit.
Well, I thought the one interesting Goodell quote was about the players wanting the NFL to open the books, and he said, I haven't heard that in sessions. I've heard that from you guys. I haven't heard that. Like, the players have never made a formal request to Goodell or ownership to open up your books. It's all just been rhetoric in the public and not actual.
Well, I don't know.
And I don't know how that procedure would take place.
It definitely is rhetoric in the public.
Yeah.
We've heard DeMaurice Smith say that.
But if Goodell is honest, and I assume he wouldn't say it if it was a flat-out lie, it's never been officially broached as, we need this in order to move forward.
And what I read today is that the NFL has requested that, you know, because there's so many different topics that need to be addressed, that they break these things down into segments and negotiate them as separate kind of topics. To me, that's a negotiating ploy. I think the NFL wants to kind of knock down the easy ones.
But the bottom line is,
and not allow the union to, lump those in.
There's not going to be a salary cap next year. We need to accept that fact.
I think
because
it will be an uncapped year.
They can't even decide how they're going to talk before they talk about what they're going to talk about. Like, they're like five steps from even negotiating at this point. So there's no way in the next, where are we now? November, December, January, February, 4+ months. You have 4.5 months, essentially, to hammer out maybe the most complex deal ever negotiated between league and players and everything.
And really, nothing can happen between the union and the owners until the owners figure out how they're going to do their own revenue sharing.
Right.
You know, because they need to figure that out before then they can go to the table and negotiate as an entire, ownership body. And that's what Robert Kraft was talking about yesterday is, we need to get together so that we come as one. And right now, they're not at one.
Right. So the bottom line is, uncapped year next year, now your concern moves forward to the next year, will there be football?
Right.
Because I just don't see any way they could get it done for this.
I'm not worried about an uncapped year. There's enough things on both sides that kind of make it unattractive,
Yeah, to some degree.
Yeah, it's not going to be like this willy-nilly thing that people think it's going to be.
It complicates the issue, though.
It's
a bump in the NFL landscape as normalcy.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's all the free agents that won't be free agents.
True free
agents. They'll be restricted instead of unrestricted.
Right.
And that's, that kind of affects the landscape going forward.
Sure.
Not just for the individual players,
and
the
rules
of
8-4 because, I mean, you hope the Patriots are going to be – you think they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to be included in those rules of not being able to re-sign
I'm not sure
and all that.
See, you know, when a lot of people think that, you know, that might be the year that a Snyder can buy a Super Bowl. I don't think that's possible. You know, I don't think that, you know, you can actually buy a Super Bowl even in that uncapped year. There's still enough restrictions in there. And guys that you thought were going to be, like Paul said, available as free agents that aren't now. Now they're restricted free agents.
But you can try.
You can try. But it's going to be hard.
I got to tell you who, if I were him, I would try is Al Davis. I could die soon. And I'm not really saying that as a joke. But if I'm a Ralph Wilson or an Al Davis.
Well, yeah, but Davis is one.
Make a run at it. Sure, there could be long-term ramifications, but my team sucks every year now as it is. I've sucked for a decade.
Yeah.
So if I can possibly steal a Super Bowl, and then I have all this salary cap hell because they institute a new CBA, what's the worst that happens? I suck again?
I know.
Well, I have a Super Bowl ring, and I won.
But here's the thing about Al Davis.
And I might die.
Here's the thing about Al Davis and Ralph Wilson. I don't think they've got enough of their own cash to do what you're saying.
That's a problem.
You know? They don't have that type of liquidity.
But what if you work a deal? Again, you're Al Davis. You sell, you know, a big chunk of the team, and they take over a year from now, and you get the money, the liquidity, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you got to do that with the ownership approval. You can't just sell it.
You can't just take out a loan with a lien on the team?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But it's not as easy as it sounds.
I know it's not as easy as it sounds, but I think for teams like the Patriots that want to be good, want to be sound business teams for the next decade, two decades, I think the uncapped year is kind of irrelevant. It's some new loopholes, some new this. But if you're a team that just wants to sell out and win or that desperate, and I would put Al Davis in desperation mode, I think it could be a vehicle to something you couldn't achieve otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so let's say you're one of those players that, okay, I'm going to go and make a lot of money work playing for the Raiders in 2010. What happens the next year? I mean, are you allowed to sign a long-term contract? How does that work? I don't know.
Well, if you sign a one-year deal with the Raiders.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And then you become a free agent again?
If they sign 10 guys to one-year $20 million deals or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the rules in place would be signing long-term deals where a guy's salary would decrease by a certain.
Right.
There's only a certain amount of percentage that, in other words, you can't front load the deal completely. So you can't sign a guy for $20 million and then $500,000 in year two.
Right.
You know, something like that. But if you sign a one-year deal, then you become a free agent again in 2011.
Right.
You could do whatever you wanted.
Well, I don't want to get
it's good for us next offseason.
The only way
radio.
I could see, and I don't know if this is even a possibility, but you know, any aversion to an uncapped year would be if they got together and said, listen, let's do this. Let's do A, B, and C and keep our salary cap structure in place 1 year.
Temporary.
Right.
For
that's
2010, and then we'll continue to work.
I suppose they could vote for an extension,
I don't know if that's a possibility.
Oh, no, no.
No.
They already opted out, so they cannot vote for an extension.
No, this would have to be a new deal just for 2010 to say, we don't want all of those different things that would
and
be entailed
in
an uncapped
year. You hear it in public all the time, teachers or cops. Work without contracts for like 2.5 years. When they sign the extension, they're already 2 years into it.
But they'd have to do something like that. Otherwise, I agree with Andy. There's not enough time to get
The players would agree, though.
A new full CBA in place by the time February rolls around. So an uncapped year, I think, is all but a certainty.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. I know there's something I'm forgetting.
Can I ask a question?
What?
No.
I don't have to.
There's something I'm forgetting, but
we don't need to get to the emails because I think we kind of
you might
didn't
be able to,
yesterday.
You might be able to remember it as we're talking, but you brought up the Rush Limbaugh thing.
Yeah.
Are you at all surprised in any way about the amount of attention that that's gotten?
I think it's
his potential roadblock to.
I think it's great. I think it's great for Rush Limbaugh. It's great publicity for him. Not that he needs any, but he can't lose in this. He can't lose.
I understand what your point is, but I'm talking about strictly from the NFL point of view. Are you surprised
that there are
many people that have said,
look,
I wouldn't play for him?
I
believe any of them.
I don't want to get into a big thing, but I think right now in America, it's very divided. You got a lot of people who didn't vote for Obama and don't like what he's doing.
and you got cable TV. You know, it's never before in the internet, you know, have we had this much focus on every little word that everybody says, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or Obama or Glenn Beck. Every little thing they say gets floated around the internet on that 24-hour news cycle. So I'm not surprised in the environment that we're in that it's getting this much attention at all.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily talking about whether or not you think this guy is or isn't what some people think he is. You know, if he's a racist or whatever. I'm not. That's not really part of my surprise. I just can't imagine that there are a lot aren't more players on a lot of players that probably deep down in their hearts think a lot of the owners aren't necessarily the best people.
Right.
And I'm really surprised that as many people were as outspoken about Rush Limbaugh.
Well, because
happened.
He's outspoken.
I know that. And I'm not trying to defend him either, by the way. You know, even though I'm somewhat conservative, I'm not, you know, a right-wing nut.
He has a platform, and he's very outspoken. And, you know, he did say the thing about Donovan McNabb. So, you know, there is a football tie to it, you know, even beyond the social aspect of it. So, you know, I'm not surprised at all that some spoke out and that it's getting the attention it's getting. So.
All right. Well, I thought I'd throw that out.
Bilo just stole a piece of pizza.
I was too late for the whole media session.
Oh, wow.
He's a jackass.
Okay.
That's all. Let the jokes begin.
Okay.
He's a jackass.
All right. Anything else you want to add on that one? No? I don't think it's going to happen anyway, but even if he just floated it out there, it's great for him. It's great publicity.
Well,
and one thing that Rush
unless
does,
he really wants to buy an NFL, like if his dream is to own an NFL team, it's not great for him because it's not going to happen.
Right.
That's the only way he loses.
And one thing about Limbaugh is he doesn't care. He himself says, I'm an entertainer. You know, there were guys like him before him. They never did what he did because, you know, everything wasn't. But guys like, remember Wally George?
No.
Wally George used to have like a show on cable, or even before cable, it was like on UHF, you know, Channel 11 in New York, and he'd be on it like 12:30 on Saturday night or something, you know. And he was just like staunch conservative, blow him up. You know, he was like that, but it didn't get, you know, but people saw Wally George as who he was. He was a nut. You know, Morton Downey Jr.
I remember him.
You know, these guys.
Was Wally George Rebecca De Mornay's father?
I'm not sure. He might have been.
I know who you're talking about.
He had the blonde comb over.
I think that's Rebecca.
And he was entertainment. But, you know, now I think people take Limbaugh so seriously. When he just did an interview where he says, I'm doing it for the money. That's why I do it. And you don't make the money nowadays unless you get above the noise. You have to say incendiary things. You have to get noticed. Otherwise, you know, in the middle, there's no money to be made. It's at the fringes where, unfortunately, where the money gets made. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. He's a master of it. And he's getting rich because of it. You know? So. But you got to take it for what it's worth. He's doing it for the money. If he really was serious about it, he'd run for office. So.
In Minnesota.
Wherever.
That's where you get elected. one of those
no matter
freaks.
What you want to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the specific one, I don't know if you saw Jim Irsay, his comment yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's silliness.
Well,
I think it's ridiculous.
There's no reason for him to say anything right now.
I think that was a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
I agree. I heard Dennis and Callahan talking about it a little bit.
I didn't
he was a guy who was born on home plate.
Well,
that's how he got his team.
You know,
I mean, that's how he got his team. Yeah. At least Rush Limbaugh, for whatever he is, as you said, Fred, he's a genius. Because he's made hundreds of millions of dollars doing what he does.
Right.
Call him racist, call him whatever.
Yep.
He has made his money. And that money is what would allow him to potentially pursue an NFL team.
He is phone sex for the traveling salesman.
Right. Irsay is old school. I just inherited it, and now I'm saying he can't join.
Yeah, and I didn't even hear Dennis and Callahan, but I totally agree with that. I saw the scroll yesterday with that quote running across, and I just was, you know, when I saw it, I was like, you've got to be kidding. If Robert ever said something like that, I would be really kind of embarrassed. And he might think that.
Now,
and I understand that, but to come up with a comment like that,
yeah,
now, I would be ashamed.
At the same time, I respect anyone who you know, feels like they want to voice their true opinion. I think, you know.
Yeah, but that's what.
Well, you would
does.
Agree. There's too much in these days of people holding back.
Yes.
You know, so.
Like, but that's what Limbaugh does. He voices his opinions, right. Whether he believes them
I
truly or not.
I just think it was a self-serving kind of, look at me. I'm not going to let this kind of person in the
NFL.
Well,
plus when he follows it up by saying, you know, I go the way of the artists. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay.
I just thought it was a very self-serving comment. If I really thought that he had, well, I won't get into it, but I don't think that's a very smart thing for an NFL owner to say.
Yeah, you got to remember that you do represent more than yourself when you own an NFL team.
Right.
And let's say that Limbaugh did.
Let's say he's the only one who feels that way.
Yeah.
And he gets approved.
Right.
Now what do you do?
Yeah. But let's say Limbaugh did buy a team. He would have to temper some of the things he did because now he represents more than just Rush Limbaugh.
And the commissioner said that.
Right.
Everyone's held to a higher standard.
You know, so anyone that hates Rush Limbaugh, maybe the best thing for you is for him to be an owner in the NFL. You know?
But if he's really a racist, I mean, do people really think he's going to come in and just have an all-white team? Like,
right.
I just don't understand. It's just a flawed theory. He may have strange views, but I don't think he's an old-school racist, and he's going to come in and 53 men are going to be all white guys. He's going to put this Aryan Nation team out there. I think that's kind of ridiculous.
All right. I didn't, you know, we didn't have to go on.
Strippers, of course. Wally George was Rebecca De Mornay's father, although they are estranged.
Yes.
George
has
been estranged from his actress daughter.
I knew that, too.
What does that mean, estranged?
They don't talk together.
They don't
talk.
They don't talk anymore.
They have no real
But there's no, like, legal thing, like, you know.
No.
Can't file for estrangement.
Right.
Like, usually you see that with a spouse.
Right.
You know, your ex-wife, but you don't have any relationship with her, so they're estranged.
Right. Okay. All right, good stuff. I mean,
no communication.
Yeah, I mean, it's good discussion, good radio, sports talk, radio fodder.
But what else we got?
Well,
for
both. It's also political and news talk.
Yeah, I
radio
mean, it crosses all lines.
Right.
You know, it's a social, it's political, it's sports.
Which is why he gains because his ratings will be helped.
Right.
And his
right. He can't lose. He can't lose. No matter how it falls, he can't lose.
Well, what else you got for emails?
I got tons of emails.
Why don't we hit some?
Should we get to some emails?
We should.
All right, we'll do that right after this.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009 Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, back here. Right. In progress.
We'd
Toyota,
like to
you got anything to say for yourself?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm fired.
You effed up.
That was kind of weird.
We apologize.
Yes, we do.
Technical snafu.
Yeah.
Fred succeeded in catching me off guard.
Fred often tries to get the producers off guard with his commercial breaks, and he succeeded like never before there.
I didn't expect that, though.
You were going, hee-hee, and then you...
Yeah. I'm just looking for the spilled soda over the soundboard. That's...
No. You know Doc's going to be all worked up when he gets back.
He's mad at something already, so, yeah, I'm fired.
Life. Get his panties in a bunch.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. David and Allison write in.
What?
Two big Pats fans here from Edinburgh who are really looking forward to seeing the Pats at Wembley in October. We caught the Falcons game and know we will see another win in 11 days' time. Couple
Isn't
of questions.
Said differently?
One. What?
Isn't that said Edinburgh or Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
And I think it has a softer ending than Erg.
No, I think you might be thinking of another place.
I'm not sure. I'll wait for Eric to get here. Save that email.
Well, David and Allison can tell me if I pronounced it right. I said Edinburgh.
Yeah, they're going to spell it the same way when they...
Couple questions. One, have you heard anything from the situation regarding Brandon Tate and Mark LaVar coming back from the PUP?
No.
Two, could Tate be a possible quick fix to the team's third receiver woes?
No.
You're saying no right off
Not
the bat.
A quick fix.
A quick fix, no.
Is he...
He could be active.
Dire straits and you need some bodies and, yeah, he's a receiver and sure, all that, but you think he's just going to come in off cold and, right. and catch 10 passes?
I think he could come in and contribute, but I don't think he'd be a quick fix to the third receiver spot. He could be a returner. He could fill in as an extra receiver like Edelman. So now you have two guys kind of like that, and he might be more dynamic than Edelman.
And split the load because, yeah. I mean, Edelman's got a pretty heavy workload right now at week five. If you think he's going to return kicks, punts, and be your every down third receiver, no chance in hell he makes it through the season.
And he's already getting banged up.
Right. He's not talking.
Let's see. Based on Maroney's performances to date, is it time to draft another running back in next year's draft?
Probably.
I think you're probably going to be looking for a running back
or
at some point
one,
next
yeah.
year. You have,
yeah, I don't think that you,
you
rule
have
it
three,
out.
You have three guys over 30, you know.
Three off, well, two off injured.
So I think you're going to be looking for a running back next year of some sort anyway.
David writes in, reasons for the bad offense. 2006 through 2008, all offensive draft picks, all failures. Mike Elgin, Corey Hilliard, Justin Hairston, Ryan O'Callaghan, Dave Thomas, Chad Jackson, Lawrence Maroney. Go Brandon Tate. We'll see you after the bye. That is 0-7. He's saying offensive picks.
The picks are offensive?
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with those picks that you know those guys haven't contributed.
The big ones are Maroney and Jackson.
Maroney
the
and
same
Jackson.
Draft.
The only ones.
The
that
special
really count.
Picks who were the future of the offense, except they weren't.
Those were two big misses, in my opinion.
All the Garrett Mills and Dave
Garrett
Thomas
Mills,
and all those
David
types.
David Thomas, Mike Elgin, Corey Hilliard, Clint Oldenburg, all those guys.
Mike Elgin, you could have got me on.
Those guys aren't really factoring into
Justin
these.
Hairston?
Justice Hairston.
I mean, he was a sixth or seventh round pick.
They're
irrelevant.
Right. It's Chad Jackson that we're talking about and Lawrence Maroney.
If those two had hit, like they were supposed to be first round pick, because Jackson was supposedly a first round pick, but both of them, they were supposed to be 1,000 yard receiver, running back with Brady, the future of the offense, the transition, everything. And they laid an egg. They've been none of them.
And both of them, the same problem. Immaturity. Wouldn't you say?
I would say both of them, not the physical tools, is the problem. I think they have the physical tools to compete at a high level.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it's maturity, intelligence, heart, anything. Well, confidence. Clearly, Maroney has a confidence issue. We've known that all along. Brady said it. Remember when, was that 2 years ago? When Brady said, hopefully this is something he can build on. Yeah. And he did, kind of. That was that good little stretch right at the end of 07. But he, I mean.
Now, to Maroney's credit, the last few games, when he's been in there, he hasn't stunk it up. He's done all right. And then
but are you just lowering your expectations?
Wait a minute. You just killed the guy 2 games ago against Baltimore when he ran 7 times for 6 yards. That was 2 games ago.
Because
you killed
him. The kickoffs. He's starting to dance in
the
kickoffs.
So he wasn't dancing on the 7 carries for 6 yards?
I thought he hasn't looked that bad.
Compared to what, though? I think you're just lowering your...
Maybe I have.
Expect him to dance, fall down, 2 yard loss. And when he doesn't do that, you go, that wasn't a terrible run.
I think the last couple games... He's done stuff, you know, that we said, well, let's see a little more, and then he's gone for the rest of the game, and it's kind of weird. Don't agree with that?
Yeah, I think Chad Jackson was a maturity thing. I think Lawrence Maroney is mental, but it's not a maturity thing necessarily. It's more of a confidence, toughness kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think Chad Jackson's killed them more because I think, and not because Maroney's been any better, because I think he's only been slightly more productive than Chad Jackson was. I mean, he hasn't anywhere near lived up to the first round billing, but they've had running backs. They've had a semblance of a running game. They're right now, their glaring need is depth at receiver, and Chad Jackson would be one of the. Chad Jackson should be in his prime right now, contributing as a.
He should be Brandon Marshall.
He should be your 3,000 yard receiver, is what he should be, and he's not. He's nowhere close to that.
Carl writes in, for the love of God, can someone teach the defense to tackle? Shoving the receivers out of bounds isn't going to cut it anymore. The yards after catch is killing us, especially in the Jets game where Crotchery took a short pass 30-plus yards.
Crotchery!
Our run...
Tell me he didn't say that on purpose.
No, he wrote it. Our run...
You said it!
Our run defense is middle of the road league-wise, but tackling needs to be improved if this defense wants to get better.
I agree.
Okay.
I mean,
Has been an issue, I think, for years.
We've talked about Brandon Merriweather. He's kind of our whipping boy for that because he's a pretty poor tackler. But my guy, James Sanders, 2 games ago was horrible, terrible. This week, Lee Bodden blamed himself on the second Marshall touchdown for not being in position to make the tackle and, you know, live to fight another day there. Who knows? You get a stop, whatever. It's an issue. I think it's one of the hardest things to correct because these guys, it seems like they're ingrained to do it a certain way from high school into college,
right?
And it's hard to break those habits. And I know Bill says you practice it and you work, but there isn't a lot of live tackling.
They're going for the ESPN highlight.
Right.
Just bring the guy down.
Right.
Just bring him down.
I think it's hard to fix at the pro level. It's one of those fundamental things.
These guys are heavier than you. You're not going to always launch yourself into them and de-cleat them.
Yep.
Just wrap your arms around them and hope for help. You know, Jesus.
But it seems like these, don't you think you see guys, it's one of those things that pretty much they're a good tackler when they enter the league or they're a bad tackler. You can get better in degrees, but you can see if it comes naturally, they seem to always square up, they seem to be balanced, or they don't. And I feel like it's hard to go from one to the other. Like Brandon Merriweather always bounces, has his arms down.
Right.
I find it hard to believe he's going to become a sure tackler.
And sometimes you can get away with that in college.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Guy's a little slower. You're faster than him.
Right. You're the better overall player, athlete, everything. But your weaknesses get magnified at the pro level.
Hyder from Ontario.
Hyder!
I'm getting pissed off with our third receiver. We are really making Sam Aiken and Edelman our third receivers. Really? Come on. They haven't done anything for the offense. I wish we either gave Galloway another shot or give Nunn a chance, even if it is a couple of snaps. But they can't go into another game with Aiken and Edelman as the third wideouts. Do you guys agree? Well, they're probably going to.
Well, I was
going to
say, what do you mean by can't?
Yeah.
I can ask you, is it, say can't, was it really Brett Lockett they signed for Greg Lewis?
That was the guy that they picked up, yes.
When they cut Greg Lewis?
Yeah.
Wow. All I got to say is wow. You know, I think more of Lewis than you did, but
they claimed him off the waivers.
I mean, I'm just baffled.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were told that that was one of those moves they didn't really want to make.
So why make it?
That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Was the pressing need for a jack of all trades special
what
teams
has
guy?
Brett,
there's something to that. There's more to that story.
And then even if you thought, like, I was
could
thinking,
go for a beer right now. I just saw a beer commercial. It looks so good.
Especially when it hits your lips, it tastes so good.
Oh. It's so good.
Nice ice cold.
Another!
A nice ice cold beer right now. Wouldn't that,
so good.
Doesn't that sound good? Maybe it's the pizza I just had.
Beer and pizza go together.
Oh.
Or what Tacoma played for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice job.
You heard about
That's not Tacoma's fault. He's on your watch.
See, now he's going to think he can never leave again.
Actually.
Yeah, that vacation at the end of the year is canceled now.
It's funny how the end of the year. How do they get vacations during the season? How does that work?
You have a vacation during the season?
You really can do anything you want in marketing, huh?
No, I don't have to travel to Houston, so I was going to take time after the last home game.
Wow.
After those,
it's an awful defeatist attitude, young man.
That we prep for the
last regular season home game.
We're going to have a home game the week after that Houston game.
Right, and I'll be back by then.
Kind of a defeatist attitude, isn't it, Paul? Wild card?
Maybe. Might be on the road that week.
Anyway, what were we talking about, beer?
No, just you. Just you.
Let's
tackling. See. I'm glad Eric's not here, though, because he would have gone off.
Eric really gets mad.
You know,
it's ironic, the kicker.
You know what's funny?
On the staff.
He really gets mad about it, but today we just happened to be chatting with Mike Reese a little bit. Had a little missed tackle log in his
notebook.
From the game.
It was like his little black book. It was only like 3x5, and it was his missed tackle log. Goes a lot of them last week.
And well, he actually mentioned Merriweather.
You know, and Bill's been asked before, how do you practice tackling in practice without killing each other? And he said there's other things, you know, getting in the right position, setting up, breaking down.
But
know?
It isn't. There's nothing like live tackling.
Yeah,
nothing.
You're right.
Nothing
you're
simulates
right.
it. Yeah. And nothing simulates it in a drill like in a game when you have blockers, speed,
right.
sidelines, angles,
space,
right.
everything.
Right.
It's one of those, it's got to come live. On some level, it's got to come naturally.
It's
you have to have honed it over the years.
It's not an easy thing to do either. Now, the ones to me that I get frustrated with are when the ball gets caught in front of a defender and the defender comes up to make the hit. So, in other words, it's kind of a blind hit. Just make the tackle.
Right.
Don't go for the knockout. That's the knockout blow
right.
that kills me.
Right.
Now, when you have a guy that breaks into the clear, you know, a guy who catches a screen and now he's out there with a lot of green, yeah, good running backs are going to break tackles there. They should. They should break tackles
right.
in space. That's what makes that, you know, Chris Johnson will probably break some tackles in space Sunday. But the one like last year in the overtime game with Dustin Keller, that can't happen.
Right.
You can't come up on a guy with when he has his back to you, doesn't even know you're there, and he breaks a tackle. Those are the killers to me that turn failed third downs into first downs.
And even I'll give Bodden, I think sometimes it's really hard as a corner when you're out one-on-one because you're so going from coverage reaction to now got to make the play, and the receivers are athletic.
That's
we know
what
I'm that
talking
great.
About with space.
But
it's not an easy
to me,
thing
a
to
safety,
do.
When you're Brandon Merriweather, you need to understand where your leverage is, where everything is on the field, and where the proper fill lane is. And he just seems to always take the wrong angle, the wrong spot, the dive when he shouldn't, not dive when he should. It always seems like it just doesn't come naturally to him.
Our next emailer is...
He is the next Ed Reed, though.
As
according to the
story.
Boston Globe. The Boston Globe.
The Boston Globe.
Our emailer is Squirrely McShaver, and he says, a lot of my fellow football fans are once again complaining about the NFL's overtime rules. Most of them agree with what Peter King has to say about it. Myself, I think the rules are fine.
Me too.
My favorite part of the game is defense, and I think defenses should be good enough in the clutch to stop an offense looking to give you sudden death. And if a team's D isn't good enough, too bad. The problem I have is the increasing amount of rules that are tying the hands of defenses behind their backs during 60 minutes of regulation. Rules that have made winning the coin toss increasingly more important and imbalanced. What do you guys think?
Well, I think, first of all, there is a lot of talk of overtime. And there's been talk for
A long time. A long time. It's getting important in Boston because the last two overtime games you've been in, we've lost the toss.
But I think that tells you the league is unable to come up with a better option, a better scenario that they're willing to even try.
The only one that I would advocate is just playing a full quarter. And then if it's tied, it's a tie. It's a regular season tie. That you're not necessarily putting any more stress. You have the potential every overtime to play 15 more minutes. So it's not like you're asking the players to do something more than they would normally be asked to do. Because you're asking them now to play 15 more minutes, potentially,
right?
If it doesn't end. And, you know, occasionally, you know, once every 5 years or so, we get a tie. We had one last year. And we almost had one this year. Cincinnati, actually, they should have had one because I still don't think Cincinnati made that field goal. I think he missed it. Did you see that at all, that Cleveland-Cincinnati game 2 weeks ago? But I agree with Andy. I don't think putting the ball at the 25 or guaranteeing both teams possession, I don't think any of these little quirks work. I want to play real football and then let it unfold that way.
And that's the only way you can play real football is a full quarter because full heard people say – we'll make it a
7 minutes
or
whatever happens. Well, that's not right.
There's no time limit.
Because you can hold the ball. You could have a drive that long. Right. A quarter, you're not going to have the ball for 15 full minutes.
The only other thing I would accept is the you're guaranteed one possession. And then after that, it's sudden death.
I would accept that. I would. Yeah,
that's the only thing I would.
I like the way they do it now better than that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care. But if you were going to change it, that's what I would change it to.
I'm for keeping the way it is. I think it's worked for a long
time.
The
only problem is, you know, they say, well, if you have a good defense, but, you know, sometimes your defense is tired. You really are at a disadvantage if you're on defense first.
But it doesn't matter. You've played 60 minutes, you know, and it's equally
fair.
It's really a coin toss. It's really 50-50.
Yeah, but the offenses usually don't get as tired as the defenses.
No, but both defenses are tired.
Right.
I know, but you're only one defense may have to play in that
case. But it's 50-50, and you had a whole game to win or lose.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What about just ending it? It ends in a tie. Would you go for that?
Sure, if that was the way it was.
You mean at the end of regulation?
Yeah.
Oh, I really wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't like that.
No, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with pretty much any rule they put. Just play it by the rule.
No, you got to at least give it a chance to be broken.
Okay.
I'd be okay.
I'm just
with
asking. Let's
see. Like hockey, though.
Alexander from
6-5-2, everybody would be.
Alexander from Panama City, Panama says they did hear that.
Well, I know they heard it. We all heard
it. He said, and Fred's laugh afterwards was classic. He was shocked.
The laugh from Fred came before.
Well, and after probably, too. I'm not sure exactly when our mics were cut. But
I think I laughed after.
I'm sure you did. But you're to blame for that. You try to catch them off guard, and you caught them with their pants down. And I just don't really know why that was, like, the first button available, a full-fledged swear. I could see if it was bleeped, and it was just one of our funny drop-ins, but that's something that should never be played. So why is it there?
Right.
I don't know.
Poor board management.
Yeah. Should I send you to EEI to see how real board management takes place?
Actually, I was Connecticut School of
trying to help the football team out, so I needed a backup quarterback in here, and it wasn't a Matt Cassel performance.
No, but the look out for the bus,
throwing
Tomash.
Him under the bus.
But the question is, why is that F-bomb the first button he could touch, ready to go?
He might have been scrolling through. He thought he hit the thing that plays all the spots together.
He just hit the button because he thought the playlist was up on there already. That's what he said. And he just hit the button.
At it. There was no red light lit. It's not like it's his first radio producing gig.
I'm not defending.
The tire tracks on Tacoma are
I'm not defending him. I'm just wondering why that was the bite that was up there.
And why is it there? When do you ever need to use that?
He should have checked.
How many swears?
Look, let's face it. On the other side of this glass is a monkey house, okay?
And you are the lead gorilla.
You guys might as well be throwing feces around in there.
Feces.
That's what the studio smells like once you guys leave it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Accurate.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. You pass me the Coke.
Chris with it. It's warm.
Yeah, but that's why I have ice.
Oh, hey, that's a good idea.
Thanks.
Chris with the TIAN was the person who was
thanks for lunch.
Nice enough to send us lunch, and his email's up now. Tough loss on Sunday. I have to say the Broncos are definitely much better than I gave them credit for. However, the plays were there but not made. Brady is simply not himself and has been way too inconsistent. Is it the knee, shoulder, between the ears? I remember Peyton Manning starting last year 3-4, and many of the so-called pundits said his best days were behind him after his knee surgery. I agree with Galloway. It's killing this team right now. I'll be the first to say how much I underestimated Dante Stallworth and Jabbar Gaffney in 07. When the offense was at its peak, these guys were making significant contributions. Stallworth in more like the first half of the year and Gaffney in the second half.
That's true.
As of the defense, a good game plan against the Ravens and then back to Vanillaville this past weekend against the Broncos. I believe the D is doing its job. They're not giving up 35 or 40 a game. I'm also with you guys on AD and Burgess. They are absolute dogs. On a positive note, it was great seeing Mayo back out there. I'll let you guys know if I hear anything about Light. Also, I took no pleasure in being right about Fred Taylor. All right.
All right.
Thank you for lunch, Christian.
Thank you.
Yes.
Fred, were you calling AD and Burgess a dog? Dogs?
No.
But well, I think agreed with you. I mean,
but I think we were saying that.
Where are they? They haven't made any plays.
Yeah.
No question.
You know, I would love, you know, for Bill Belichick or even Dean Pease to just tell us what really they think of what they're doing. Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? Maybe we just don't know. You know. So.
No. I never said that.
But I can't believe that Adalis Thomas is there to, like you said, reroute receivers.
Well, see, he's a guy that I think might be doing his job. I think
really?
There's a better chance he's doing his job than Burgess is.
Right.
They move him around. They do different things. They take him off the field. But Burgess, his job is to rush the passer. When he's on the field in sub situations and he's going one-on-one with a right tackle, that's his job. He's not there to set the edge, stop the run, and be this. So, yeah, maybe you could sell me on Thomas. Burgess is a, what did Christian call him?
Dog?
Sure.
Al.
He said that's, he agreed with you guys.
Oh, so Fred called him that.
Yeah.
Al from Georgia got cut off yesterday.
Yeah, he said, Skype ran out.
My point was going to be as follows before my Vonage bailed.
Vonage. There's a new one I heard a commercial for, Uma or Uza.
Really?
It's another Radio Shack one. You buy it for like $20, plug something in, and right. It's free calls forever.
It's just the internet. That's all it is. About the overtime system.
It's just the internet. It's simple.
If you know there will be a major problem in a certain area, then make the change before the problem comes to the surface in a Super Bowl. Change the overtime system to a preset number of minutes to be played in the overtime period. Play only one overtime period during regular season games and use the score at the end of the overtime period as the final score. In the playoffs, play as many complete overtime periods as it takes to end the game.
Oh, no. No, I disagree with that. In the playoffs...
Well, you have to have an end.
You have... But not complete. I think you start the first quarter, and then you go until you have a winner, but you don't have to play a complete second quarter or a complete third quarter, I don't think.
So it would go to sudden death after the first quarter?
Yes.
You have a full overtime period.
And then it's sudden death from that point on. Don't you think?
Well, you have to have a winner. I mean,
no, I understand that, but
you can't have ties in the Super Bowl.
But let's just say, for argument's sake, it's they both kick field goals in the first quarter, so it's 3-3 going into the second quarter. You're just going to keep going full quarters until you get
wins
a quarter.
To do something.
No, the next score after that would win. I think.
Yeah.
Stripper says that 29% of the time, the team that wins the toss drives down and scores without the other team touching the ball. Overall, however, the coin toss winner only wins 52% of the time.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know?
Yeah, but he's saying 71% of the time, there is two possessions.
Right.
So everybody who says
everybody
you
thinks,
want two
right,
possessions,
right?
Like I
nearly
said,
three quarters of the time, there's two possessions.
This is coming up in Boston right now because we lost our
last two
games on the first possession.
Right.
You know, Brady has been money in overtime. He's won a ton of overtime games on the first possession.
Right. Shannon has a good one. Shannon's from Seattle about overtime. His easy solution for the situation, whoever's starting QB's wife is hotter, that team wins. This rule will be in effect for only 5 to 7 more years. After this time period, the league should contact me for the new rule.
I hope we don't play Jeff Garcia's team.
Been a long time, no offense. It's not you, it's me. I needed some time apart. I had a headache. We can still be friends.
Screw you.
That was a great email.
I think it's no offense. No offense.
Oh.
No offense.
Frederick.
No defense.
Frederick from Quebec City. Maroney is fast with good hands. We do know he is a terrible back, and most of us don't want to see him here anymore. Why not convert him to a wide receiver?
Because he doesn't have great hands.
He might have the potential to get better than Aiken and be used as a third receiver. He has good hands, good yards for kidnapping.
He does not have good hands.
No.
I don't think he has great hands. I think he has better hands for a running back than we were led to believe when he got here, but he doesn't have wide
receiver
hands.
Well, I think his
hands
were a complete unknown when he got here because he hadn't done it.
Yeah, he
and I think they are adequate. I don't think they're anywhere. I don't even think they're to the level where he's like a good third down back, where you say he's going to catch everything I throw to him.
No, but I do like that little wrinkle that they threw in there a couple of times in the Atlanta, in the home games, the Atlanta and the Baltimore games, where he made some plays.
And Bill talks about it. He's been talking about it since August, getting him the ball in space, throwing him the ball. The good job in the passing game.
Who is he good in space?
It's true.
I want to know who said that.
You know who wasn't good in space? Christian Fourier.
Christian Fourier was
used
not
to trip on yard lines.
That's true. He's like a newborn deer when he was out there. You know? You get the ball. He's like, these legs were like,
it's amazing. He scored like 10 touchdowns that year.
We didn't have to run.
Scorier.
Yes. That's true. Most of them were just in the end zone where he fell down and then did that big scissor split spike thing.
Right.
Split spike.
Scott from Brockton says, you were talking briefly about the delivery of PFW yesterday, and I had a question. I live in Brockton, 15 minutes down the road from the stadium, and I get the paper 6 to 7 days after the print date. For those people living outside of the immediate area, when are they getting their papers? Next season?
The one problem with him is, aren't they all mailed out of Brockton?
Well, that's the funny thing, is that's where the post office is that we ship them to, is right. Brockton.
Right.
Carol has been working we give her a lot of crap. She has been working very, very hard of late.
Scott.
Tracking papers. She's been on the phone with the Brockton post office numerous times.
Well,
National post office.
I got this email
everything.
This morning, actually, from Scott, and I gave it to Carol. I said, please send this to our contact at Brockton post
office. But even last week, previous weeks, she's been dealing with them directly.
Yeah.
She's trying.
But, Scott, what you could also do is show up Monday night at about 6 o'clock because that's when the papers just take yours off the dock.
Do they literally just get, like, buried in a room somewhere or under piles?
No, second class or periodical, they get put in these sacks, and they're all, like, zip codes sorted. And, you know, unless you're Sports Illustrated where, like, there's a million sacks, sometimes they sit there. And they go through, you know, probably what's happened with Scott.
Playgirls get a lot of sacks.
His are in a sack, you know, for this local area. It probably gets on a truck and goes halfway around the country before it comes back to Brockton. It's stupid.
So why don't you fix it?
But we don't use.
Why don't you just raise the subscription and FedEx all of them?
You know how much it would be?
Another brilliant idea by Doc.
From F-Bomb Boy in
They'd get here on time.
They would get here on time, and we'd have 2 subscribers.
Right. I might as well just go personally and tell them what I was going to write.
Let's see. James writes in, and James...
I'm an idea man. He is not.
James is from Brisbane, Australia. Really looking forward to the next 2 weeks. Oilers this weekend, and then the Bucks in old London town on what will be my birthday, turning 20.
Nice.
Anyway, with the trade deadline next week, I've been thinking about who the Patriots may or may not trade for.
T.O.
With the signing of Seau, I wonder if a trade is already in the works since at the time I'm writing this, no one has been cut for him.
Terdell Sands.
Terdell Sands has been cut, yeah.
Because he hadn't actually been officially filed, signed yet.
I realize none of these may happen, but it's fun to speculate and try on Madden. So I'll give you a list of Patriots players, and you guys say if you think there's a legitimate chance that they may be traded in the next week, and if you were making the call, what it would take for you to make the trade. Lawrence Maroney.
No.
No.
What if it was a 2 or 2 threes between 3 and 6s? A second round pick or 2
Yes,
picks.
I would trade him for a second round pick.
I would trade him for a second round pick.
Okay.
Paul would drive him to the airport.
Joey Galloway for a 4.
Sure.
Also, I would drive him to the airport.
Kendall Simmons for a 6.
No.
No.
Nick Kazier for a 3.
No.
Yes.
Not unless I find out about Light and Lavore.
Mike Wright for a 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
For a 2?
Well, right now, I mean, what's that 2 going to do for you? Now you're really hurting on the defensive line.
Well, wait a minute. We weren't saying, what's that 1 going to do for you when we traded Seymour? You were saying, oh, you got a first-round pick for a guy.
Why are we hurting on the defensive line?
Well, because he's playing a lot of snaps.
He's played well. He's played very well, but we're not hurting on the defensive line.
I don't know.
You got Ron Brace inactive. Activate him.
Well,
he's a second-round pick.
I'm not even including Ron Brace in my factor here.
Well, how about Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren, Jarvis Green? You factoring them in?
Yeah, but they're playing a lot of 4-3 now.
And Derek Burgess with them.
Derek Burgess, yeah. Okay, so like Tully I said, they'd be in a lot of trouble.
No, but those are the guys that are playing now.
Mike Wright and Tully Bantakane are the 2 guys making plays. that.
Well, first of all, Vince Wilfork is the guy up front making plays.
Vince Wilfork.
Are you telling me that you wouldn't trade Mike Wright for a second-round pick?
In the offseason, I might, yes. I would absolutely do it. But not in the middle of the season.
You're a complicated man, Fred Kirsch.
Adalys Thomas.
I don't get you. I would trade Richard Seymour before the season started, but I won't trade Mike Wright.
Adalys Thomas for a two and a player or and another low pick. Adalys Thomas for a two and a player and another low pick.
No. I wouldn't trade
him. He hasn't done anything, but.
And you also, I mean, I don't know who's going to give you a two, a player, and another pick for him either.
Terrence Wheatley for a three.
Him.
Oh, yeah.
James Sanders for a two or lower combination.
Yes.
Nope, I'd keep him.
Okay.
Part of it would be personal.
On the bench.
But I think he's.
It would all be personal.
He's worthy of a second.
I think he's a
second round pick player, though. I don't think you're improving necessarily your lot there. I think he's second round worthy.
That's who I could come up with off the roster as for trading. I can't see maybe a move for a replacement wide receiver. Someone said Branch in SPFW. But there's no point going for anyone too flashy since whoever we bring in will have to play behind Moss and Welker. That alone rules T.O. out since his ego is the size of a blimp. Eddie Royal is someone who they could trade for. I think he's dropped down to maybe the fourth option in Denver behind Marshall, Stokely, and Gaffney.
No.
But I could
Did
be wrong on that.
Sunday?
He's the number two.
He caught 10 passes Sunday.
A 3 and 5 in my mind could be enough to get him. How about
no
that?
No chance.
Also in SPFW, the possibility of Steven Jackson for Maroney in a high pick was mentioned. That sounds smart to me since Jackson would be annoyed being stuck playing in St. Louis. Is there anyone who you could see the Patriots realistically making a trade for? It would probably be a backup role player, but a calculated blockbuster move is not out of the question.
When was the last blockbuster
move? I think it is. But Steven Jackson, you know, people bring that name up a lot, too, in the email I mentioned Deion Branch. But Steven Jackson, they say, well, he probably won out of St. Louis. Well, that's not really the issue.
Right.
Was St. Louis looking to get rid of him?
Is he healthy, too?
Yeah, he had a bad fumble on Sunday.
No, but I mean, I thought he's had like a couple injuries over the last year.
Well, he's been hurt. He missed the Patriots game last year with an injury.
I'd be concerned about that, too.
But it's not about whether or not the guy would like to get out of a losing situation, because who wouldn't? What competitor wouldn't want to leave a situation like St. Louis right now? But Steve Spagnuolo probably thinks that Steven Jackson's part of what he's trying to improve to, and he hopes he can do it fast enough that Steven Jackson's still part of that. You know, so I'm not necessarily thinking St. Louis is saying, let me get rid of Steven Jackson, unless they can really get a lot for him. And then I don't know if that makes it worth it for your team, for the Patriots. I wouldn't want to necessarily give up a whole lot for him. Now, if I could get him for a song and Lawrence Maroney and a fifth-round pick or something, sure. But I don't think that St. Louis would be willing to fork him over for that.
And I wouldn't say a receiver wouldn't. I mean, they play three receivers most of the time. So.
Deion Branch would make tons of sense.
But
Eddie Royal would be the perfect slot guy.
I think T.O. would be happy to come here if they wanted him.
Oh, I don't think T.O. would want
him. I do, because I think he would go to a team that has a good quarterback. He has a chance to win. He has a chance to be a star again in the postseason.
And the way I pitch it is they're taking Moss out of the game, so you're the guy.
No. What do you mean?
That's how you pitch it to T.O.
Oh, okay.
That's how Bill would pitch it to T.O.
Three receivers on the field. They have three starting receivers. Yes. You're not a complimentary player. You're a starting caliber player.
And but I think that he doesn't want to be one of three. He wants to be the one of one.
But I think he'd rather be one of three where people are watching than one of one in Buffalo, where I think that has already, it's already worn off. It's worn off in Buffalo.
You might be right.
I think he'd come here.
I do, too.
I don't know if they want him, but I think he'd come here.
Right. He has no choice. Yeah. I mean,
he'd be happy to be here.
Especially for three quarters of a season. Yeah. He could potentially catch 50 passes over the second half, go to the playoffs. Everybody's like, oh, Brady, it's a great show. And then he goes off on his way.
But Andy just brought up a point that I think is the key to the offensive struggles right now. It's they have three receivers. That's this offense. The identity of this offense is
you're a starter.
You're spreading the field with receivers. Yeah. And right now they don't have.
You could argue they have 10 starters right now, not 11.
They don't have the caliber of receiver that they are accustomed to fill out that spot. And I think it's hurt them. I think that's a key point with this. It's not like.
Look, Joey Galloway, this is huge.
He walked through the locker room.
This is almost as big as getting Jason Taylor.
And I walked over and he walked right by me.
You know? The way he's turned out.
But, you know, it'd be one thing if the Patriots offense was sort of predicated on two tight ends with two backs in the backfield, kind of a New York Giants power kind of attack. I don't think Joey Galloway not panning out wouldn't be as big a deal.
Right.
But right. the Patriots need three NFL caliber receivers to run their offense.
Right. Which
and
gets
really,
back to
they need more than that.
The offseason and the roster formation and the Belichick's decisions. I mean, you knew you were going to have to start three receivers all the time, and you don't have three.
Right. And all that said, this has fallen well below expectations offensively. But it hasn't exactly been a disaster offensively either. They scored 25, 26, and 27 points in three out of their five games. They've had two games where there was 17 and 10, and 9, whatever, that weren't so good. But it hasn't been, you know, look, I mean, look what's going on in some of these places that can't even break double figures.
Right. But it's a disaster for them.
It's fallen way below expectations.
I mean, we were literally saying, are they going to have to win games 38-35 this year?
Yeah.
No, for a number of reasons.
Instead, they can't win them. See, but this gets my whole argument with Fred from yesterday on the show. Yes, the offense has been well below expectations, but it would be nice to win just once, 17-13. They can't do that. Because if the game stays in the teens, the other team's going to score more than they do. Mm-hmm. The other team will find a way to score more than they do if they get an opportunity to win while scoring less than 20.
And so far, the Patriots won't.
And the Patriots have won many games.
Look at it.
The Patriots have won many games over the last 3 or 4 years, 38-35 or so.
Right.
But they never win 13-10.
They're supposed to.
I understand that. But if you're a good team, you have a good defense that can win a game for you once in a while. They don't have one.
To some degree. I think when you invest Welker, Moss, and Brady,
right.
Their
money's in their offense.
There's $40 million invested there. To me, that's a lot of your salary
cap
going
towards
offense.
I'm not taking the offense off the hook for Sunday. The offense lost the game Sunday. I just don't think the defense, you know, Brady used the word complimentary for the offense. Defense didn't help him out. Defense could have bailed him out Sunday, and they didn't.
See, I don't think they're capable of it. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, you might be right.
One is underachieving.
But I would
one is achieving. They're doing what they do. That's what they do.
One isn't
when you have Tully Bantakane playing a significant role, you are what you are.
Right, but at the same time, I'm not going to get lost in applauding them either. They're
I don't think anyone's really.
They're not playing below expectations.
What was the phrase
like the
failure used on the radio? Blowing, sucking them off?
Something like that.
Which I don't think is appropriate for even our show, never mind real radio.
But you said it.
Well, I know.
Web radio.
We already had an F-bomb on this show. It can't be anywhere.
That horse has left the barn.
We called him crotchery.
508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Jim from Texas.
Fred, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Well, I got to take issue with Andy and his crotchery crack. That's really going below the belt. But that's what we come to expect out of the genius that is now Fred and his merry men. Okay, I gotta chime in on T.O. First of all, no way, no how, no chance. If he comes in here, he will make it all about him like he's done every place else. He's going to pout all year. And the truth is, Buffalo was probably the only team that contacted him. Do you honestly think a guy like T.O., who's all about glitz, glamour, television, and cameras in his face, went to Buffalo because that was his first choice? Guys, that was his only choice. He's pouted up since the Patriots beat him, and he figured out that, hey, my team isn't too good, and we're not going to be on TV very often. He's going to sulk all year. That's T.O. And if you think that he's going to change for you, you're an idiot.
Because he's
never changed. He's the same guy every year. I don't fault him.
But he's about the show, and that's my point. And I think he would make falling in line the show. That would everybody would be wowed how he subjugated his ego now as a Patriot to fall in line with Bill Belichick. That in and of itself would be the show. He would still be the show, but for the reason you want him to be the
show.
Maybe
that's why they got Junior Seau, because they know they're going to get T.O. and they got to have Junior to keep him in line.
Could be, Fred.
Well, I will say this. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Right.
He is who he is.
You know what I mean?
He doesn't make any apologies about it. I am mad. But I think that if he comes here, he'll make us worse. I mean, for the short term, for the long term, I will go on record. I would rather lose without him than win with him, because the cost would be too high.
Yeah, you're probably right.
A lot of other good players on this team that are busting their hump. Yeah. Hey, look at it this way, guys. After we traded Seymour, I had some real questions about our defense. I think the defense has played a lot better than – look at their personnel groupings. They've got, I mean, really, they've done very well. They've been in every game. You take away a taunting penalty, which I thought was absolutely ludicrous. You take away a Wilfrid unnecessary roughness when he put his helmet in the guy's belly and he tackled him when he had the ball.
Crotchery.
There were some really questionable calls in two games that they lost, and I think to me the one stink on this whole team is the offense has not played as well as I thought it would.
Well,
they are way below what I thought they would be.
No question.
I think we're all on board there.
So here's a name I'll be throwing this one out there. Roscoe Parrish. Buffalo Bills. He's a good kick returner. We have a weakness in the kicking game. I mean, I think Maroney, how they keep bringing him back every week, no idea. But I think his time here is short. I'll just say that. And I think Roscoe Parrish, to me, makes a lot of sense. He certainly makes more sense to me than Sam Aiken, he's basically just a guy that can cover kicks, apparently, because he can't do much else. What do y'all think of that?
Well, the thing is, you need that, too. Roscoe's more of a return man.
He is.
He's an extra receiver, though.
But
he's got much more.
In the special teams game, he's a return.
Oh, yeah, he's a return. Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, so.
You think that would be bad or good?
No, I think that's.
I like Roscoe Parrish, but he's made a ton of huge mistakes for the Bills.
But probably the kind of player, if you were hoping they acquire someone at this point.
That's someone who might be available.
Yeah.
He's definitely, where it is, he's on, that's the last straw in Buffalo.
So.
That last game.
That might be the level that you're kind of searching at.
You might just be able to sign him when he gets released,
right.
Which
right.
could happen.
Well, let me ask you this question, then. I mean, T.O. is going to make about $7 million this year. We don't have $7 million under the salary cap.
No.
I think Larry Johnson in Kansas City, he makes about $3.5 million. I don't know if we have $3.5 million under the salary cap. I mean, a lot of these guys you've mentioned, and I'm not disparaging any of your marks. You guys do your homework. But what do we got as far as cap number right now? About $2.5 million or so. We can't make a big move unless we release somebody who's making significant money.
But you also have to take in mind, I think with T.O., he had, I want to say, at least a $3 million signing bonus. So that's not on your books.
Is the $7 million the cap figure or his salary?
I think his salary was $7 million.
You're responsible for the prorated portion of $4 million.
The salary. So you're talking about
maybe $2 million.
10 weeks at whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think we have that under the cap though right now. I mean, I would be let's just say that T.O. was a decent person and a normal person.
Well, he's not.
Which I don't think we have the cap to make a move. Roscoe Parrish is on a rookie contract. He was like a fourth round pick out of Miami. So he's making dirt. He's making hundreds of thousands.
Right, but he's not T.O.
He's making millions.
He's also not T.O. For whatever you think of T.O., T.O. is a game-changing NFL receiver when he's on.
Okay,
Roscoe Parrish is a complimentary guy that you hope and could be better than Julian Edelman. You don't know for sure. He doesn't know your system. He's not a game-changer.
Right.
So if he can even get on the field is one question, and B, if he can be a contributor and make you better.
Well, if T.O. is a game-changer, Andy, why hasn't he changed Buffalo's outlook? Because Lee Evans is a good ball player, you would agree.
Because Buffalo's not a very good football team with a bad coach. If I put him with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, I can guarantee you T.O. will change a game.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of great players on bad teams that still do their thing.
I understand that. But are you going to tell me T.O. is not a game changer if he came to this team?
Maybe not.
But T.O.'s been
he's
a game changer for every.
You know,
I hate T.O.
I hate T.O.
He drops a ton of balls.
But
no
he's
question.
Been a game changer
he catches
every
a ton,
team
too.
He's ever been on until right now. I'm going to blame that one on the team, not him.
All right.
A bad
okay,
team.
But would you not think it's possible that he might be, you know what, when you get 36 and all of a sudden you start to go a little, I mean.
He ain't that done.
No.
I do think his skills are diminished somewhat, but not to the point where he's a complete and utter non-factor
but,
that he's
but
been
he's
in
also,
Buffalo.
He is a mental case.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
and
insane.
Part of that is he knows it's hopeless
where
he is. That part of what Andy's saying I agree with.
He is a very fragile
that's
person.
He knows it. He knows it's hopeless in Buffalo, and I agree with Jim.
Yeah,
I think that's
there, though, so what if,
right. I think Jim's right. That's the only option he had.
Because
he would not have signed in Buffalo. Buffalo would have had to have been one of the bottom five. If he had a choice of anybody, that would have had to have been for him one of his last five choices.
Right.
So he didn't have any. He didn't have any
choices. I completely agree with you on that, Paul. And so again, that just tells you the rest of the league is tied to his act.
Yeah,
and
I think you might be right.
GMs don't want him.
Yeah, I'm tired of his act. I don't want him. I'm with you.
He's insane.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, listen, motivated, stay dedicated, hoorah, and you know what? I'll talk to you next week.
All right,
man.
The real highlight of that call, he always ends with a great motivational slogan, but the real highlight was there were some real questionable calls in those two games they lost.
Yeah.
Don't look at the three games they won.
Besides that, we glossed over the fact that Vince Wilfork roughing the passer happened in the Buffalo game that we won.
Let's see.
He's the best, though.
Remember Catherine from the poorhouse?
Oh!
Yes, I do.
Wait, should we read this now or should we wait
should
until
we wait?
Well, her bow gets here?
It's a legitimate question.
She says not that, the bow, but her
she says Reese thinks that Seau signing will allow the Pats to play more 3-4.
Yeah, he threw that out there today on All Access.
Which will consequently free up Thomas to make more plays. What do you guys think? I value your opinion even after talking to you at length at the poorhouse the other night.
Well, after I was molested by you, Catherine.
Yes, it was quite uncomfortable.
It does. I mean, you have more depth at linebacker. You have the ability to line up four NFL linebackers, and I feel okay. But even if it's five and you say Pierre Woods is part, whatever, you have more depth at linebacker to go to four-man linebacker.
And I wonder if the inability of Burgess really to factor into anything has maybe led Bill to say, you know what, I can have him not make plays in my 3-4, which I think he's probably more comfortable in. Maybe this does allow me to do that. You get Mayo and Seau back now, don't forget.
Right.
It's not just Seau.
Right.
You're kind of getting two linebackers mm-hmm. back now. Maybe it does open the door. Mike did bring that up. We just taped something for All Access that will be on Friday. And Mike, I didn't really think of it in those terms with Seau, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they play a little more 3-4.
Yeah. Let's see. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's take this call before we take a break. Mike from Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys, except for the little loss, but I'd rather lose to Denver than any other team.
Oh, that's not how Fred's sick
Fred
of Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
He hates all this crap.
I'd rather lose to, like, New Orleans than any other team.
Well, yeah, you know what? I'm with Fred on that. I'd rather lose to NFC teams. They don't hurt you in the tiebreakers.
I'd rather
tie
lose to Josh. I like Josh.
I like Josh. I'm
I do
baby.
Like Josh.
You and me, Mike, we're a lot alike.
Sickening.
I thought that.
My main thing is the only real, you know, playmaker we're seeing right now on defense is Vince Wilfork.
Yep.
And, you know, even though the Patriots hold all the cards, I think they really need to go out and start this, you know, bidding process on him. Because if they franchise him, eventually he's going to smarten up and play like a Seymour or, you know, whoever type move where he says, listen, you can franchise me 1 year, but, you know, that's it. The next year I'm sitting out, you know, and not going out. And, because, I mean, we need to get him signed.
I agree.
As simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you watch those plays, and you're like, yeah, just sign the guy.
He's done everything, and we talked about it all offseason as the perfect professional. Now he's your best player. You know, it's hard because your best playmaker is a nose tackle, and that's kind of inherently limited, but he's done everything right, including make plays this year, so sign him.
The only thing we don't know is what the offers are on the table and what they're asking for. And it could be outrageous. We just don't know.
But assuming it isn't, assuming he wants to stay, because I think he wants to stay.
If it's not outrageous, they should just do it.
And clearly they have a fear of the CBA. Can't they tell him or give him the Seymour $1 million or in some way, you know, extend an olive branch to say Vince Wilfork's going to be here moving forward?
Yeah, I hope they do it. Because he is. He's so good.
I think they need to do it as well. I'm not.
But I mean, even avoiding doing it now, can't you do something?
Exactly.
Before the CBA, wait till that gets done to do the 5-year, $50 million deal. Give him $1 million, a handshake, and you're going to be here, buddy.
The Seymour shut up money.
Yeah.
I don't know if the current CBA, you know, sort of bars that from saying, you know, we'll give you a, you know, 1-year deal with, you know, this sort of, like, option package that says, you know, once the new CBA is done, you know, we'll give you, you know, X for X years, or, you know, if that would be, like, tampering or something like that.
No, you can have roster bonuses and contracts that are kind of hinged
plus
on multiple.
It's your player, so it's not tampering.
Yeah, but
there's a way. There's got to be a will.
Finally, I have to get a shot in at Eric. I hear next week you're flying on Eric Airlines, otherwise known as Virgin Atlantic.
Well
good
done, Mike.
Good, Mike.
Sometimes the best ones are the ones you can see coming yet still find funny.
Okay, guys, have a good week.
All right.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, and the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
He works for Sporting News because the Sporting News has learned that Albert Breer once played football.
How many times does he have to say
excuse me, Sporting
what?
News?
Oh, for crying
sorry.
Out loud.
I only said half the word. Of course, the first half is the worst half. Ing is okay.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Eric! Fred! I'm back from practice and
beautiful day out there, Fred.
Is it?
It is. Perfect
nice,
autumn day.
Nice,
yeah.
Crisp
what kind
day.
Of practice they got yep. going on out there?
You have a sharp little green crew neck, V-neck
thanks,
sweater.
Thanks, Fred. I know
thanks
you.
For noticing.
I know you hate sweaters. So
I don't like sweaters.
I know you don't. Oh, no. I wear them on purpose.
Andy's got a sweater.
I don't like things I have to pull over my head. You know? Too much of a lot of work involved there.
Well, that's
the sleeves
that's,
get on. You have to.
You know, it's funny because I actually that bag that Nicky makes you put on.
Well,
all
I
the
pictured
time.
Him as a guy that unbuttoned one button and pulled the button downs off. And
oh, I used to do
save.
That.
See,
I used to do that
just to save time and just throw them in a pile, pick it up again next week.
Right.
You keep all the buttons and. Oh yeah, I could see
oh, really?
Him doing that.
I've done.
You've
that.
Done that?
Oh sure,
I've never done.
That
was a while ago,
married.
Wasn't it?
Before I was married.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Ah, thank you, thank you.
Can I get it? I'm sorry, size 36.
It's okay. All right, Eric, what happened in practice today?
Bad news, of course, no Taylor, no Light, no Randy Moss.
Is it dark?
Okay.
And we've played that game before, so who knows.
How
and
did you know? Weren't they in red jerseys?
No Ty
again?
Warren. Yeah, you have to look through the binoculars at faces. So it took a little
but
bit longer than
you're
usual.
You're a guy
but
who, that's actually your artistic specialty is faces.
No Ty Warren.
No Ty Warren.
The offense, which
offense was
wearing
red again because okay. of the red you know, for the
right.
home game this weekend.
Right, right.
Seau is wearing his double nickels. And what Sale, Paul likes to call him?
Sale had the double nickels
yep.
on. What was
and,
Burgess winning?
Burgess 93. Took the – no, he took the unused Tyrone McKenzie number 53.
Huh. It's still his number.
Yeah, but he's not using it right like, now. So.
And Burgess won't be here next year anyway, so he can
who
have
knows.
Back.
Yeah. So, shorts.
I got to tell you, Tyrone McKenzie and Derek Burgess, neck and neck for plays.
Shells and sweats today, Fred.
Shells and sweats.
The light hitting day, apparently.
Okay. A lot of media out there. We're all
yes,
the,
all the UK people were out there in full force.
Why today? Do you think they just won't have time next
week? I think they want to have previews ready for next week because it'll be too busy by the time we get there at the end of the week. And so they need stuff in advance, I guess.
Now, do they go down to Tampa and do stuff, too?
I would imagine.
Yeah, there's probably a bunch there, too.
Now, who are these people?
From each of the like one was from the Guardian, one was from the Sky News, I think.
The Daily Mirror, was it
Mirror, I think, is another
Isn't
one.
That the one with like page five, where it's just all nude
That's
girls.
A tabloid one, I think. Oh, is it?
I think
oh
it's
yeah,
page six, by the way.
Page six.
Damn it, it's a page short.
So,
all beautiful too.
That's what she
all
said.
Real large breasts.
Wow.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Can't all
right.
To London.
Web radio at patriots.com. 508-543
Germany.
Yeah, some Germans there.
I don't know if that.
Nein sprechen Sie Deutsch.
If that was because they just feel that this is the time for Vollmer.
That's good timing, yeah. if not.
Well, no, I mean, this is going to be an international presence at the game. So they're doing the same thing that the London people are doing.
Okay.
Oh, you said there's a German high school team. That's playing, right?
There is a German
high
school
So maybe that's part
playing.
Of the reason why they're coming.
Well, actually, so they got lucky then.
Yeah,
they might
did.
Be a little older than high school.
College?
I don't know. But
the flag football game's on Saturday. Who are those are kids?
Yeah, no, those are fans.
Fans?
Oh, okay,
those
so
are
we're talking
groups.
Adults.
Yeah, that's adults on wow. Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah. What?
Wow.
I used to
Paul doesn't approve of flag football.
Fall at a loss.
I think flag football's great for kids. I just think grown men playing is a little weird.
It's
all right,
flag.
But
softball's
football.
Okay.
What? How old?
Well, I don't know. The men's softball.
You were like 37 when you played.
Oh no, I wasn't.
Oh, how old were you? 36.
Those are my maybe just after 30.
He's got a cut off. 34 and a half. Right. Yeah, hang up the cleats.
Wait a minute. But, I mean, you're making it sound like these people aren't under the age of 40. It doesn't sound like to me.
Well, they're all. Yeah, I think it's 20 to 50 actually.
Well,
there's probably some 18.
To me, nothing wrong with 20, 30, but 40,
rules
50.
Are so like,
40,
God.
50, that's kind of weird.
I didn't know there was a cutoff. What about bowling? Is there
nah,
like
bowling,
a,
bowling.
I mean, bowling's okay.
Bowling, does it go the other way? You have to start later.
Right.
You can't
bowling,
start that till 42
Are you
and a third.
Really surprised, though, Andy,
bowling,
coming from
golf,
a man who counts his Q-tips
you know,
out before the season?
Tennis.
He should bone up on that before
right.
he
Golf.
Goes.
Yeah, bowling, golf. Those yeah. are sports that you can play your whole
Individual
life.
Individual sports.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Eric. So what else
go.
Is going
that's
on?
That's practice.
What else is
that's
going on?
That's practice.
That's it?
That's flag football.
That's it.
Why don't you go over the people who were there? No, I'm only kidding.
Okay.
Steven Gostkowski.
Go over the other 49 who were
buddy,
there.
Buddy,
any,
buddy.
Any, buddy. Any yeah. other news to share with us?
How did Seau look? Athletic?
He had the hat, as always. He
that
you know,
brown engineer's hat thing?
No. He had a red Patriots hat.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, he doesn't like to wear a helmet or anything during stretch. He always has to have some sort of
he has a weird
thing on his head
phobia
at all times. You hardly ever
head.
See him without anything on his head, a
yeah.
hat or helmet
yeah.
or something.
Has anyone asked him about that?
No. Well, maybe they did in that follow-up press conference that he had at his locker after the 15-minute one he held in the
it's
media
just a
work
little weird. Why would you always need to have your head covered? You have a helmet. It's extra. You got to carry the
Peyton
hat.
Peyton Manning's like that, too, on the sidelines. As soon as he comes off, he throws the helmet off and automatically puts a baseball
covering
hat on.
Up the hole in his
I mean, can
penis
you go
body?
5 seconds without something covering your head?
Well, a lot of quarterbacks do that.
Yeah, but why? What do you need to?
I don't know if it's to keep your head warm or what. But
it's what?
Endorsements.
It's a Colts hat.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
Well, they probably ask him. Reebok asked him, can you make sure that you keep the hat on?
But a lot of quarterbacks do that. As soon as they get to the sideline, the helmet goes off and the hat goes on.
They got the helmet head.
Well, especially for him because you think he's
right.
penis head.
He looks like a penis.
You want to make sure you cover that up, you know, with whatever you have.
All right. So that brings us to should we get back to some emails?
Sure.
Or do we have some questions for Eric.
What do you want to ask him?
Look at him. He's so giddy.
No, we
so giddy.
I'm just wondering
we
how
did you have
a good time in Denver.
How are
we did have
going?
An email.
How
earlier.
How did
you have an email
going?
From
Catherine?
Oh, she wrote in?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
She had a nice question about
my ass.
Yeah.
It's right. It's true. Is it as hard as your head?
Well, which head are you talking about?
Well, do you have any news to share with us on that front?
Not really.
No.
Could you? You guys, not me.
Well, nope. She emailed in, so reply to her email when you get to your computer upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Say, hey, how you doing?
All right. Say,
well, how you doing?
What are you doing Friday night? I'm kind of being serious.
Not a court.
Yeah,
hey,
so.
How you doing?
She can buy dinner since she makes a lot more money than you do.
Wow. Listen to you.
I'm a modern man.
You can be a house husband?
Yeah, Andy and I have had no problem having our wives make more money than we do.
Seriously. I'm being serious.
All right, fine.
Because we would like to get you away from, apparently you have a reputation, according to Mike and Sharon.
That you we're flying your airline.
Your official London. Airline, Virgin Atlantic.
Yeah. Consider the source of that comment.
Well, we did, and we thought it was pretty funny.
We decided.
I got the over-under at 3.5 before he pushes the microphone away and sits down.
So are you going to pursue this Catherine thing?
Yeah, we'll see. See how
you
goes.
Liked her.
She was. She was very nice.
Cute.
Yeah.
She, for taller. Some reason, seemed mildly interested in you.
Yeah.
Well, she was drinking.
She may have just been
being
nice.
That.
I don't know.
She might have just been being
and,
nice.
Right. You know. When in Rome.
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar
we were in Denver. We're going to London next week.
She was, you know, 3,000 miles from her home.
Sure. Right.
It was her brother or you.
Right. Ooh.
Oh, that's just
that's
gross.
Awful. That's really bad, Andy.
So, Andy, were you sleeping in the hallway at the hotel that night?
I would have. Gladly slept in the hallway.
Paul had room in his.
Right? I would have gladly moved on.
The old sock on the doorknob.
Yes, if he had had any chance.
I told Andy, just come down.
Any chance.
Come down to my room.
I would have slept on the couch in the lobby. I didn't care where.
Paul
if he
and
had
Andy
a chance.
Spoon.
Right, whatever it took.
As much as I've made fun of him for everything in the past that I'm no longer allowed to make fun of him for, I'd be more than happy to have plenty to make fun of him for on the other side of that ledger.
Sure.
All right, well, it doesn't sound like there's any progress yet, so there's really nothing to talk about yet.
She emailed. Right. She's clearly mildly interested.
Well, she likes the show.
So let's facilitate. No, she
doesn't. She likes the show.
Just to repeat, she's clearly mildly interested.
Yeah. He always has to have a veiled shot.
You know.
No, he's right. He's setting expectations properly. Good.
Yeah,
good,
USC running back.
You're both professional adults in your 30s.
Sure.
Look, Eric, just be careful, all right?
Oh, of what, Fred?
I don't want you to get hurt.
By what?
We know
I
you
just,
tend
I just
to
don't want
you
to get hurt. You know,
you tend to
that was an extraordinary circumstance, the one you're referring to.
Well, don't let it happen again,
Eric. I don't even bring that up. Just so
I know
you
don't.
I want you to make sure
you
note
Paul.
That.
No, the last thing I want is you moping around the office.
When have I ever moped around the office?
Oh, come on.
When haven't you?
What time is it?
No, because of you, I have moped around the office. But.
So, yeah. We were wondering, what is your? Do you have a picture of her on your desktop yet?
That's what I'm talking about.
Again, I want you to note, I'm not taking
I know.
Part in this.
Don't be jealous that I've been shining online with Babe.
This is all true,
day.
So this is all fair game.
That's right.
She didn't have a problem with your, you know,
it's,
did she?
It's stuff.
She looked past that.
I don't know how
saw your
face.
It's
a long way to look. Oh.
Now, is it true she asked if you were circumcised?
Are you still drinking from Saturday? All right, let's get to the emails.
Are you really?
Are you still drinking?
What is wrong?
That's not true.
Wow. He meant circumspect.
So just to recap,
I asked if
you
it
just
was
got
true.
Here for the show. We have a legit full-fledged, not just an F-bomb being dropped by one of us in the heat of anger.
Who did?
That didn't happen.
No.
No,
that didn't
no,
happen?
A drop-in. So an intentional F-bomb.
But not a bleeped F-bomb.
Not
a real
bleep
one.
A real one.
You dropped in an intentional F-bomb?
Yeah, it wasn't dropped.
I wasn't sitting here.
Who was?
Tamash.
And Fred
just saw him out at the field. Last second throw to a commercial,
just
and he just
flailed
his arms
in the middle of
talking,
and he goes, all right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. And then
and you heard,
yeah, like
effing.
Yeah. And he hit a button, and all of a sudden, an F-bomb got dropped.
Ooh.
By him?
And now we're talking about, you know,
no,
circumcisions.
Who? Wow.
What's wrong with circumcisions?
We're spiraling out of control again.
As we are wont to do.
That's wont
with an O.
Why do you always say that?
It's funny. It's just like I always go, he's eligible.
That really gets Andy mad in the press box.
Right. And I will continue to do it because
I hope
of that.
So. And I will continue to look at you and
much like
encourage
he
you to do
say,
it.
In Paris,
I don't get the opportunities anymore.
All right, well, we're not going to get anywhere with this because there's no progress made. There's no news to talk about.
Oh, you're
we'll
upset,
keep you
aren't
informed,
you?
Though.
Yeah.
So and hopefully Catherine will keep us informed on her end by
lovely young woman
emailing in.
Let's get back to the emails. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Mike from sunny Florida isn't happy. He says, I've been wanting to write for a long while. I've been listening for years. I think it is absolutely embarrassing to have to sign a 40-year-old linebacker. Don't care how good he is. Not even the Lions would need to do that. Whether for leadership or depth, we should have addressed that over the last many years with young players. There is no excuse for the state of the linebacking core. We all know Bill is the best coach in the league. However, I would like to take exception with the belief that you all seem to share that he is also one of the best college talent evaluators. The past seven-year history shows that the Pats have been very average to below average with their picks. Luckily, they are able to coach better than most and have done pretty well with veteran free agents. It must be obvious to everyone that it is the defensive scheme, not the corners, who choose to play off 10 yards. It has been like that for years, but everyone blame Hobbs, etc., for playing that way. It is the way Belichick wants it.
Well, we talked about the playing off yesterday as potentially a complementary aspect of an overall game plan and how they thought they could best attack the Broncos on both sides of the ball with a theory of how much you're going to maintain the ball, score on offense, not give up big plays to Brandon Marshall. I think there was a lot involved with that decision. Yeah. Doesn't mean it was right. I'm not saying it was necessarily the perfect decision or game plan, but I think there was a lot. I don't think it was just a flippant, oh, we'll keep him off.
Yeah, and I will also say this. I don't think that we sit here and we say that Bill Belichick is one of the best college talent evaluators out there. I think his track record in the draft is generally pretty good. I don't think it's great. I think a lot of people around here perceive it to be great. I think it's been good.
I would also question the second part of that where he said, luckily he's been very good at
the
veteran
free agents. I think a lot more misses than hits.
Yeah, I think he's below average on that.
Especially when you look at the backfield, defensive backfield.
Well, just everywhere.
Now, in terms
linebackers, his best free agent signing. What was it? Adalis Thomas? Well, was it? I mean, has he been worth the big money you threw at him?
Right. And in terms of the style, you know, it wasn't Hobbs. It was the why is it better now? If it's the same system, why are these guys playing better than they played last year? And let's face it,
I think this guy would contend they're not.
Well, I mean, you're not watching then.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up how many passes of over 40 yards last year?
Right. Yeah, it was
a lot.
In the first half of the season, it was ridiculous.
So they might be giving up a cushion and giving up some third downs and whatnot, but they're not giving up big plays like they did last year on a very, very frequent basis. Matter of fact, I think it's correlating to that San Diego game was right around this time last year where Philip Rivers threw for 300 yards on about 20 completions. It was ridiculous. It was all bombs all night, and they were wide open every time. Right?
And I think we also, when we're talking about his drafting, I think we've been pretty open with it. We've talked about guys like who are disappointments. First of all, there's a difference between disappointment and flat-out bust.
And whole draft classes.
There's a lot of teams
not
that
just individuals
frequently bust out in the first round where the guy's not on the team in 2 years, out of the league in 2 years. So while we say Ben Watson's a bust, my guess is if Ben Watson leaves here, if he's cut or if he free agency, just he's going somewhere else. He's an NFL tight end. He's going to be on a team. There's plenty of teams.
Like Daniel Graham.
There's plenty of teams that when they're busts, They're like Charles Rogers. They're Mike Williams. Like
they
bust out of the league.
Jamal Reynolds from Green Bay,
or
10th pick of the draft,
or all those defensive linemen
like
that
later.
You know, Jonathan Sullivan's that went ahead
Jonathan
of Warren.
Sullivan, sixth overall pick.
So you have to just take it for what it is and compare it to the league whole. Do I think he's the best in the league? Probably not. But do I think he's in the top half? Yes, I would say I certainly would take him in the top half.
Yeah. Now the larger point that he made, I don't necessarily think I would use the word it's embarrassing that they had a signed sale, but it is embarrassing that the state of the linebacker core is what it is right now. For a guy like Bill, who has linebackers have been such a big part of what he wants to do on defense, it shouldn't be this bad.
And the embarrassing part is, I don't like the whole, and he said it again today, you know, we've been thinking about this for a long time. I don't think Junior was going to training camp.
Yeah.
I don't really like that.
I also think it's embarrassing that guys like Paris Lennon, your guy, who are younger and have, you know, have had good seasons in recent years, weren't as good an option as a guy who's 40 years old, who hasn't gone to training camp.
Well, in some of those, that's where I get into the criticism of
the
Galloway, Greg Lewis. You targeted these guys.
Alex Smith had
positions of need. You decided how to fill those, and you blew it. You didn't get guys that could fill it for you for whatever reason. I mean, Joey Galloway, how did you not know what Joey Galloway is after 14 years in the league?
Yeah.
You should have had enough people who've crossed paths with him, know his work ethic, his football intelligence, his speed, his hands,
production,
everything from top to bottom.
But isn't that kind of the frustrating thing, is what you've seen in the past isn't what you're seeing now?
But my question would be learning the offense, because it's pretty clear that that's the issue.
Yeah, because I haven't seen. I haven't seen. You know, who's the guys that we've seen over the past? I know that the offensive lineman that you always talk about, Big Cat, there, Williams.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of guys like that. James Big Cat Williams was a veteran offensive lineman who came in. Andy looked at him the first day and said he can't play anymore, and he was cut within that week. There's been a lot of guys. John Lynch last year came in. We saw immediately this guy doesn't have the skills that made him John Lynch.
Right.
That's not been the case with Joey Galloway.
Okay.
No, his biggest
issue
has been.
That's not been the case with Joey Galloway.
But has he been in a position before where he's had to learn an offense?
But like that's Andy's
point. He's been
point,
in Tampa, Dallas, and Seattle. You're going to tell me
and
you
succeeded.
Didn't, you didn't
and Bill
talk
should,
to anybody?
And Bill should know some guys from those areas that
John
say, you know
Gruden,
what, Bill, I'm not sure
he
can make
cross
that pass. Transition.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
John Gruden would be the perfect example.
Somebody, and I'm sure there's others. That how many? I mean, each team has 15 assistant coaches and 15 scouts. They're always cross-pollinating
everybody
throughout
knows
the league.
Everybody
except
else.
For Cincinnati.
Right, but I mean, you have sources to find out what kind of guy Joey Galloway is on the field, off the field, locker room, classroom, video, and he isn't.
Yeah, now, I don't know if that's just a complete misevaluation there or if he didn't have the ability to do his due diligence that he normally does. I would find it hard to believe
right.
if he didn't, because he normally always talks about that stuff. But Joey Galloway's problem has been he hasn't picked up the system. I don't think it's, you know, he can't get open because he has diminishing skills.
Let's see. Mark from Cheddar. Hey, guys and Doc. Saw the match on Sunday, and that loss hurt. I love Josh McDaniels. But where is his class at not shaking Bill Belichick's head coach of the Patriots' hand on the field?
Well, he was damned if he did, and he damned if he did.
That was prearranged.
I don't think he. I don't think he purposely.
No,
they talked about it
beforehand.
They knew
but,
there was going to be a circus and
right,
avoid
so they said we're going to do that afterwards.
But I mean, if they happened to bump into each other, I don't think he would have snubbed him. Is
no
my point.
But I think
was,
they.
The way it unfolded is the way that they said it was going to unfold before the game.
Right. They didn't want 8,000 cameras around them.
I think there was an element of that. Right, and I certainly wouldn't blame Bill for not going over and shaking his hand. I think that they had decided we're going to do this under the stands.
Enough with the shaking of the hands.
Well,
first
of all, you're the one who made an issue of this yesterday by saying you didn't like the way he handled himself.
That had nothing to do with shaking hands.
Well, you opened that up for debate.
Okay, people were talking about trade options, so how about this one? I realize it's very unrealistic, but the New England / Boston Patriots make no big trades before next Tuesday.
Is that a statement or
that
a question?
That is realistic. That's probably what's going to
happen. The most likely scenario.
Yeah, I just don't think the trading deadline in football is a big deal.
Yeah. Over-under time. Brady, 2.5 TDs against the Oilers.
Over.
Over.
Oh.
Over.
Moss, 1.5 TDs versus the Oilers.
Over.
Over.
Team gets 1.5 interceptions versus the Oilers.
Over.
Under.
Under.
Oh, under, huh?
Yeah.
Team has 4.5 wins going into the bye week.
Over. They'll be 5-2.
Over.
Yeah, over.
Okay.
So. If not, it might be over.
Aw.
It's a great Andyism. He's right. Over or it's over.
Right. Prepping for the draft, baby.
Mensa from the Bronx. Haven't heard from him in a while.
No. It's because you don't read emails. That's what I hear. A lot of criticism of the show.
You know, I do favor the emails that come in during the show. I know we get a lot of pre-emails
and
pre-mails.
And they're mostly
pre-mails.
Off of the previous show because that's when they listen.
No, but we got, like, in the morning I'll come in. And
but you can't disregard those people.
I can't.
We have a large number of
like
podcast listeners.
I like to reward those people who make the time to be with us live.
I like to reward people who listen in general.
Well, I know.
I think each and every one of our listeners are like children. They're special in their own way. I love them equally. I'm a new man since I met all those Pikes Peak people. I've always been a man of the people.
He just never realized how many people wanted to strangle him before.
No, I did.
That's why he wants to be a man of
the
people now.
That was
so
the best
don't
part
want to
of that whole thing
him.
For me.
And now they all like me.
Mensa says, what do you think Bill has seen in Galloway for him to still be on the team? Have you observed that for all the old players that Bill keeps bringing are not panning out, like Fred Taylor, Sean Springs, and a few
Fred Taylor's made, working out. What,
I think
what?
They
Fred
both
Taylor
worked out.
Fred Taylor and Sean Springs haven't worked out?
Fred Taylor's been a beast when he...
Right, and Sean, you know,
Springs,
Sean Springs, thank God
been
we
excellent.
Have him. Yeah.
So ridiculous.
I mean, he let up a touchdown on Sunday, but my gosh, I'll tell you, they jump ship on
they
you.
Really
it's
do.
The beauty of them.
I suppose if Brady is the cause for all of you know the world's problems, as has been the case this week, Sean Springs can't expect a free ride.
That's right.
Ha-ha, Fred said sacks, says Lunn in South Dakota. Hey, with the way it's going, having Brady back and things being the way they are, it just goes to show how special the 07 season was and if they would have went 19-0. So back to the question, has anyone changed their mind whether they would want 19-0 or more Brady?
No.
I stick with what I said.
Because if we changed our mind, you know what we would be? We'd be ecstatic that we were 3-2 and had a quarterback who was 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions and an 85 rating. Because you'd be so pumped that you didn't have one of the jack-offs that's way worse than that in the league.
Wow.
The reason you're upset at the performance so far is because you hold your quarterback to a great standard of what he is, a great quarterback.
Man.
And you're going to have him for the next 10 years.
I'll still take the 19-0.
Of course you would.
Of course you would.
You're an idiot.
I still think it could go either way.
He just called you an idiot for having a different opinion.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
That's what closed-minded, intolerant people do, Fred.
Right. Yeah, I learned it from Fred. You're ridiculous. Don't talk anymore.
Fat mouth.
Let's see. Armando from San Germán's Puerto Rico.
Armando Salguero.
I know the offense will get better during the season. I don't think Brady's 100% back yet, but I bet he will get there soon enough. My two questions are, one, do you guys think the defense will improve enough for us to have a chance to go deep into the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah.
And two,
I assume he's referencing, Armando, the knee injury. Is there a possibility that the shoulder issue that popped up against the Redskins?
That's why I brought that
if
up.
If that is the issue, then I'm not sure that'll be better by the end of the season because he has to throw every week.
But
he's wild.
I know.
You don't think he's been inaccurate?
But he's wild long.
He's been wild in a lot of different ways.
Been wild short, too.
He was wild short to Welker on a couple of passes.
Yeah. I'm not buying it.
I'm just posing the idea.
I haven't seen anything that makes me think that.
I don't know why we can't talk about these things.
No, we can talk about it if Fred acknowledges it. Whatever he acknowledges is okay.
Dismiss things as
I don't see anything different in his motion.
But what does that mean?
I don't see any wincing. I don't, you know.
Because if it were bothering him, you might see a different delivery
or
a short.
I'll tell you this, and it was something that my brother mentioned to me who went to the game against Baltimore. He spent the entire game when the defense was on the field constantly for every second that he wasn't on the field throwing. Now, he throws a lot on the sideline, but I had not noticed him doing it constantly. Matter of fact, we can remember the Buffalo game where he was, you know, exhorting the offense, this game isn't over, when the defense was on the field. He didn't do any of that against Baltimore. He was constantly throwing, perhaps, I don't know, in an effort to keep his shoulder loose or whatever. It doesn't mean that Andy's not saying he's in excruciating pain and will not be able to make it through the season. But might there be a problem with his shoulder that we'll never know about?
No.
Well, do you remember the days?
You know when we'll find out about it?
After the year when he has surgery?
Yes, like we didn't know too when everybody said, he's fine. There's nothing wrong with him.
Well, do you remember?
And we found out that he wouldn't have been able to play in a playoff game had they made the playoffs.
You remember a couple of years ago when he used to come in the locker room, he would have that contraption that wrapped around his elbow and his shoulder? You know, during the week before practice. We haven't seen that in a while.
Maybe that's
why.
We
haven't.
Well, it's a different injury.
We haven't seen
it. Or maybe because it's injured, it's a different mind game.
Don't,
you don't
show,
don't show it because it really is hurt rather than showing it when it really isn't hurt.
There's no problem. Two, says
no, he just
Armando,
stinks, I guess.
Is Junior Seau, nothing against him, the best free agent defensive player in the world right now?
No.
Give me some hope, please.
Well, first of all, I think you don't look at him as a free agent. He was a Patriot since last summer, just wasn't on the roster yet. Isn't that like how it's played out?
Yeah, and
he's been
and
a
to
Patriot
a,
since 06, in
to
my
be
mind.
A free agent.
Right. But even more so this year, I think last year he wasn't. I think there was last year kind of came about. I think this year it's clear. All along, they knew he was going to be on the roster at some point. Whenever it was definitely after training camp, because God forbid he come do a little running and work out with his teammates on the training camp field. But he was a Patriot all along. It was just a matter of when.
To be a free agent, you have to be available to every other team, and he flat out said he's not.
Right.
He's only interested in playing for the Patriots. So
he also said he can only play 6 games.
It's almost like he was on the taxi squad.
There's 11 left.
Tim from Colorado 14. Springs says, I'm listening to you guys rag on the age of guys playing flag football, softball, and other sports.
That was Paul.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. Should we over 50 guys stop playing sports we love? I live in Colorado, and there are rec leagues for adult flag football and over 50 softball leagues. What's a good age to retire from competitive sports? I thought 50 was the new 30. Love your show, by the way. I'm a member of the Pikes Peak Pats.
Hey.
Patriots fan club. Go Pats. Well, Paul doesn't think you should be able to play.
I after 34 and a half.
See, you're mistaking the playing. In
he
the
thinks you're a loser.
No, the participating.
Stupid.
there's, to me, there's a difference between the participating and being serious about it. Like, I'm playing at, is it Wembley Stadium?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is kind of lame.
They're going to tear up the pitch?
You know, you're playing on these
serious...
Oh, that's
serious, where the flag games are being
these
held?
Serious flag no. football game. I just...
he just asked him that!
Yes!
No. Oh, I thought you said we're playing in Wembley Stadium.
Yeah. No, I didn't know where we were playing.
I wasn't Thanks. Listening.
No, the
Sorry.
Flag football stadiums is some... I think it's some something park. It's a park. I have the email upstairs.
I don't know what exactly it entails, so maybe I'm not talking about... Listen... I don't mind the participation.
What about bubble? Wait a minute. You played bubble football.
But that was when he was 34 and a half or
no,
under.
No, listen. But
You're a hypocrite.
No, wait a minute. I just got finished saying it's not about participation. I play pickup basketball too, Fred.
Right.
But I would never play in some serious tournament that's going to go and play at the TD Bank North Garden. Like
they dropped
I, like,
the Bank North.
Oh, sorry. TD Garden. I wouldn't,
well,
you know.
This is just a one-day flag
I just think it's weird
fans.
To be playing in some kind of competitive environment when you're 55 years old. That's all.
Did you just almost drop an F-bomb?
No, not even close.
I sensed a 55 effing years old.
No, I just think it's weird.
Let's see. Anthony from Naples is on the phone. How you doing, Anthony?
Hello? He was on the phone.
Anthony?
All right.
Had to go skim.
What happened? You cut him off?
He had to go skim a pool.
No, I guess he hung up.
We had a leaf at 1517 First Street.
I got some leaves in my pool cover now, Freddie.
Oh yeah,
I gotta get rid of some of that stuff before the snow comes.
Oh,
in.
Oh God,
snow's coming. Well, it's gonna come soon.
The annual battle.
So, by the way,
is
by
it
the
Edinburgh?
Way,
Edinburgh,
Edinburgh, Edinburgh.
But it ends in an O, not a erg, right?
Well, it's obviously
it's spelled
a different city.
With a GH, but it's
right.
No, it isn't.
Is
it's
it
the O-U-G-H same.
O-U-G-H
Edinburgh
or yeah. UGH?
I think it's UR. It's the same place, and it's spelled
GH.
It's it.
BURGH is pronounced borough.
Yes. Edinburgh. That's how they pronounce it.
No, you're wrong.
Thank you.
I guess I'm wrong.
Bitches.
I mean, now, I could see if it was O-U-G-H.
You know how I knew that?
How'd you know that?
Mike Malone's diary.
But you know what?
When.
I'm going to take the Eric tact. I don't care how they pronounce it. They're wrong.
Good, Fred.
That's good.
Tracy in Vegas says, obviously no loss
wait,
is
wait,
a good...
Wait, whoa. Tracy in Vegas.
Yeah, the hottie.
Oh, hey now. Let's take...
Hey now.
Pay attention.
She sent us pictures.
Why,
she did?
Tracy in Vegas?
I don't Blonde. Care. Does it matter?
It's hot.
I don't know.
Tracy yeah. in
whoa,
Vegas.
Whoa, you got a girlfriend who's listening now. Don't be talking about other girls like that. Catherine doesn't. She's a one kind of one woman, one man.
And she can
pairing.
Sue you.
Yes, one. Sue your pants off. You'd
a
be
one,
so lucky.
She's a one woman.
No.
However, you get hey Eric's now. Pants off. He's happy.
God bless.
They haven't
you.
Been off in years.
See those underoos underneath.
Unlike Fred, who can't stop from taking his pants
it's
off.
True.
Oh, by the way, Andy, I put the heat on.
Oh, I did too.
At the house,
freaking yeah. 30 degrees when I woke up this morning.
Yeah, it was 63 this morning.
I had to sit in my car and wait for the window to defrost.
That's another one of those can't participate in 34 and a half rules that Paul
he changed
got.
His rule. It was November 1st. Now it's October.
Can't do it. I said I'm 14th. Hoping to get to November 1st.
Can't do it.
Squeezing a little Won't oil out. Chris Pereira Jr. over
now,
here.
I don't have
is
oil.
Tracy a showgirl out in Vegas?
Oh, I don't know about that. Probably could be, but
she's in the business.
Long legs.
What business is that, Andy?
No.
She only showed us from the top
know.
Up. But
okay.
Top up. Pretty good, though.
Why do I not remember?
For once, you had an
you have a colonoscopy, you tend to forget
Tracy,
things.
Could you send some more photos?
Obviously, no loss is a good loss,
in case you
says.
Didn't know what that was a little nod.
Can I see some nip?
But if the Pats have to lose, I'd rather it be McDaniels than to anyone else. It's probably because it's like he's an extension of Belichick, and because he learned everything from Belichick, it's actually a credit to Belichick that he did such a good job teaching McDaniels.
Exactly.
I'm not buying it. Don't like it.
You hate the love fest. That's your problem.
I do.
Enough you want it back to Mangini, Belichick,
we just
war.
Lost a freaking
you know what
football
it all,
game.
You know what it all happened? This is what Fred was fine. It was just like any other loss. He was bummed out, and all of a sudden, he looks out the bus window.
And Josh was there.
And Josh yeah. was there.
Well,
and he got really
that?
Mad.
What is that?
Class is what it was.
Lack of.
You know, I know you're not used to that.
No, I don't
but it
think,
was class.
Look, I don't think he meant anything wrong. It poor judgment. Let's just put it that way.
But no one involved seems
you know,
to
we're not as excited about way. Your win as you are, okay? Forgive me.
But was anybody
Forgive
else bothered?
Me. I can't share.
No offense to you, but was anybody who matters bothered?
I don't know.
But now
no.
you're making
me. You know who are bothered? People like you and WBCN's Mark Capella. You hothead know-it-alls who don't have any bearing.
I saw some looks on some other people's faces.
Who?
I'm not going to say it on air.
Give me a hint.
No, see, but you're right now you're misleading people because you're making people think, you're making it sound like Josh's reaction on the field and all the exuberance he
right.
showed is how he was acting
no,
in the tunnel.
It wasn't like that.
It was totally the opposite. He was understated and subdued and just gave everybody a handshake
right.
and a
Hugs,
hug.
Kisses.
He hugged the
guys.
Bus driver for
yeah,
crying out loud.
He hugged all the people that he that he recognized.
Sports writers he's hugging.
That he recognized put him where he is today.
Okay.
The players and the coaches from the New England Patriots.
All right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think
again, you wouldn't know about it. He showed class.
I'm sorry.
Whoa!
I'm sorry I can't share.
We don't know that way here in New England.
I wasn't excited for his win as he was.
But there was no show of excitement.
You know, I'm sorry that I was bummed out after
that. See, again, you're making it out to be that he was showing that excitement in that time,
he
wasn't.
All right.
And the bottom line is you already lost. The game was over. So whatever you do after the game is in no way related to whether
I would have been more bothered if he was doing that before the game on the field with everybody.
Right.
And it was a laugh fest, love in. I would have been more bothered by that. This is after the game. It's all over. And you remember, hey, you know what? Even though we were on different sides now, I remember what you guys did.
And by the way, do you think he would not have come over had he lost?
Because
I think he would have been doing the exact same thing.
I think he would have done the same thing.
I think he would have.
I don't think he would.
See, but that.
Of course you don't, because again, you don't know class.
We'll never know.
Yeah, but that's not your fault. You haven't been exposed to it.
Right.
Well, we'll know if we play them in the playoffs.
Paul has.
Lawrence, I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson over here.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
Bobby Heenan said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Well, I didn't say anything about that. Don't put that in my mouth.
Easy now.
Mark Day.
Eric, get away from him.
Is John in his basement yet?
Tracy says you can look her up on Facebook. She's
no,
a fan.
I can't because it pops up in like.
She
in,
says, I'm
it
a
pops up?
I'm a fan on Facebook.
It definitely pops up if I could find her on Facebook. But
whoa.
It's. We're not allowed to do that.
I can get on Facebook.
You can do Facebook.
You can do Facebook.
Maybe look her up.
I think it's the MySpace you can't get on.
The MySpace.
What?
Hey, here's the guy who dropped an F
bomb
on our air. You want to play some swears on the air? Is that what you want to do? Hey, John's in his basement. John, how you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Oh, you don't sound too good.
What?
Are you under the weather?
No.
He's under the house.
Pretty much. I got two questions for you, though.
When I was 14.
Yes. No.
Okay. No is right.
With Sale finally coming into the fold, does anybody see this team playing more 3-4?
Mike Reese.
Mike Reese does.
Do you agree with him?
I think it's a possibility.
I think you'll see a greater percentage because of late you've seen 0%. I think you will see them dabble in it. I still don't think they're ready to go for it a lot.
I think what he likes, what Bill likes, is the ability now that he can do both. I don't think he could do both, and I think that kind of locked him in and made it a little bit easier to game plan for him. Now teams will have another thing to worry about.
I also think you have the versatility of Guyton in that mix of he can play both inside and outside, and if they do more 3-4 fronts. So
and
you're kind of back to where you have even if you disregard Banta, Kane, and Burgess, if you don't even include them, but if you have Woods and Thomas, and then you have Mayo and Seau, and Guyton can back up both spots, you now kind of are back to that. Remember that three for two we always talk about?
The way Bill's starting to use all his players now, I'm wondering when the day is going to come where we have depth charts that just say FP, football player, and he'll have BFP for the defensive line.
Just be X's.
Big football players, and LFP, little football players, for linebackers and the safety.
Unless any of that can help Brady hit Moss long, I'm not interested.
That's true.
All right?
That's a very good point. Wow. The reason I ask, though, is because I think part of the problem that we've been frustrated with all of this play is that we haven't seen Adalys Thomas really play like Adalys Thomas. He hasn't been able to get on the edge, and I'm wondering if they get to a 3-4, and this is where I happen to agree with Mike. If they get to a 3-4 lineup, maybe they can allow him an opportunity to get on the edge and actually put some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah. Or maybe we've seen Adalys Thomas play like Adalys Thomas.
Well, I remember
that's also true. That's
we haven't seen a ton of plays inside, outside, wherever, and he's been coming off the field.
I remember the game that they played in the Meadowlands last year, Brett Favre's first, with the Jets against the Patriots. Thomas had the kind of game that I thought that we were going to see.
And he threw Favre and Leon Washington down. And you know what that is
to
me?
But not just that
That's
play.
Ben Watson chasing somebody down. It's the one play you point to.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that play.
You shouldn't
play.
Be able to pick out one play. He's supposed to be a guy
it
where
wasn't
you would
just,
be littered.
All right. I'm just not going to talk.
He's good. He's made
You're ridiculous.
In 3 years that he's been here, he's made a handful of plays.
In that game, he had them.
Right.
I don't
and
know
Ben
if
Watson has made a handful.
I don't know if they used him differently that game or it was just a matchup on that particular day, but that's what I thought we'd see out of Adalys Thomas.
Well, that's why I'd like to see, that's why I think this is nothing but good. I mean, criticize what you want about bringing in a 40-year-old linebacker or whomever else that might be available out there, but to me, just from a sheer numbers point of view, I'd like to see Thomas put back, I think, more in a role to which he had previously been accustomed. And then if he still doesn't produce, and I think we can all agree he's been a frustrating part of what we've seen thus far this season, then we won't definitively know whether or not he's still got any gas left in the tank.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, maybe part of the reasons we haven't seen much from this year is because Mayo was out and he was playing a more conservative role.
Well, I agree with that.
You know, so we don't know. We'll see.
I agree with that. That's why with Mayo back and with Sal coming in, you know, Guyton's been a pleasant surprise, no question about it. I'd like to see Thomas back in a role in which, you know, he's thrived in the past. And I'm thinking this might get the team a little bit closer to that.
All right. Well, John's up next. You can continue the discussion with him. As for us, we'll be back tomorrow, and maybe Eric will have some news. All right. Bye.